Hey, what's poppin'? We're in the DealsIndy.com studios with the Tuesday show. And I forgot to plug the Drew and Mike store yesterday. DrewandMikeStore.com. Do you know what's selling?
Everything's selling.
Is it?
Yeah, you got to get it while you can.
I got to put in an order, too. We got a bunch of stuff. Also, Killer's Christmas. Thursday, December the 13th at the Lodge Grill and Bar in Keego Harbor.
Oh, my God, it's coming up already?
Yes.
I don't know. Once you find out that that's happening...
I know. It all happens fast.
The clock goes in. The time machine just gets...
I've just decided it'll be over soon. I'm not going to worry about it. That was my strategy for Thanksgiving weekend was, oh my God, how many... It'll be over soon. Yeah. Thursday will go by, Friday will go by, and then I'll be watching football Saturday, so it's all okay. But then football didn't go all that well. 4 o'clock for Killer's Christmas at the Lodge Bar in Keego Harbor. I think we're going to be... there's
clock?
All kinds of controversy about what time we're going to be there.
Oh.
Wait, does it always start at... Or is it early?
Doesn't sound right to me. I think it's a little early this year.
We're day drinking now.
I'll have to use my connections, see if I can talk to the powers that be and find out exactly what's going on. Anyway.
Yeah, all right. I'll see you guys there.
Hey, do people start working out in the winter, don't they?
Yeah. They're usually after New Year's, too.
Because I was really feeling like quitting today.
Why? You're just hot enough now?
No, I just felt like it's so cold out, and I don't feel like going.
Yeah.
Walking through the parking lot with my shorts on.
Really?
I could invest in some sweatpants, I guess. Or
no, wait.
You could shower there.
Oh. No, that's
what?
Out.
Why
that's
not?
Out.
What?
No.
He doesn't want to be that guy.
No.
What, the guy that gets masturbated to, or the guy that masturbates?
Either one.
Don't we want to be the guy who gets masturbated to, though?
That's just flattering.
Yeah.
That's true.
It is.
You said it's a compliment.
Right.
I bet you're banging your roommate that was in the shower.
Yeah.
Wash your smelly ass and balls, you nappy motherfucker, you.
I don't know. The people that go to Fitness 19, it seems like they don't wear anything. They'll just like, we saw a shorts girl walking around the other day with little tiny little shorts on.
Oh,
and
really?
And
she must look
and it was
really good.
Like, it's 20 degrees.
She was showing off.
That's her thing.
She was showing off just like Drew was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have any sweatpants.
Don't have any sweatpants.
Sweatpants.
Well, maybe we need to sell some.
Do people wear sweatpants? I mean, I don't even know what to say there. I assumed sweatpants, but there's probably some
leisure wear.
Oh, okay.
That's right. Yeah.
There is some interesting news today on the local front because Mike Duggan appears to be taking some swings at Bob Carmack. Ooh. Let's see. Where's the
story? Where did that end? Where did we leave the Carmack adventure?
Well, it was the video that he had him followed. He played
into someone's driveway
a number of times in the same driveway, and he was wearing sunglasses and hat. And he went in the house for an hour or two,
right?
And then Mike Duggan.
This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
It wasn't a great video, but he showed it on the big screen on the side of a truck outside of City Hall.
That was bold.
You kind of have to give the guy points, whether he's right or wrong. For
sure,
he's got some savoir-faire.
He has a PR mind.
Yes, he does. He's got balls. So today, Mike Duggan said that he's turning this over to the state police.
Oh no!
Good use of resources.
Yeah.
Wait, can you?
Well,
sick the MSP on people who are
the mayor
coming after you.
Yeah, I didn't feel too good about this because this seems like an old fashioned political battle to me. It's a little more than that, but you know what the guy did was he's essentially saying that the mayor is not living in the city. I don't know what else he claims. He's got another bombshell coming. And, I mean, clearly these two are rivals. There's lawsuits against the city.
Right.
The city knocked down a building he said was his. I don't think they said it wasn't his. So anyway, because he says he's got another bomb coming, it could be that Mike Duggan is using the resources the mayor has to make life a little more difficult for Bob Carmack?
No, I don't think you can do that unless there's suspicion that this person is perpetrating a crime, right? What is Bob Carmack doing that's criminal?
I think the suggestion is that there's sort of an extortion going on. You know, you better be deposed in this lawsuit, or you better let me win this lawsuit, or I'll do this. I'm not sure.
Excuse me, sir. No. I'm being harassed.
No.
I'm being harassed.
If Mike Duggan quietly put the state police on this guy, I would say it would look outrageous. The fact that he held a press conference to say that he's doing this maybe makes it look at least above board. Carmack claims the video puts Duggan's character in question. Duggan held a press conference today.
That'd be a boring press conference.
Yeah, probably not.
Wouldn't it be better if he just pretended like this is nothing? I need to go back to work for the people of the Detroit people.
I did not have
sex with this person, Mr. Carmack,
or this lady whose house I was in for an hour,
and I need to get back to work for the American people.
I think that probably the Clinton model is probably better, I'm guessing. But Mike Duggan's a street fighter.
Really? Yeah, but that makes it look like, okay, something happened.
Doug and his wife, Lori, sent out a scathing response to the video. You can read the full letter below. No, I'm not going to read the full letter below. Wait, where's the rest of the story?
He hasn't done anything wrong.
Do you ever click on the accessory parts of stories like that?
Yes, I do.
Sometimes it's like, oh, God damn it, can't you just recap? And then there's sometimes too much recapping for my tastes. Yeah. But
Carmack had promised to leak embarrassing information about him unless the city settled 2 lawsuits. Well, that is... There's something a little weaselly about that. Duggan told reporters he would not answer questions of a personal nature. I wonder why not. But he discussed what he called Carmack's threats with his family over the holiday weekend. Of course, that creates the picture of, oh, this poor family discussing the threats. They should be enjoying the holiday. They decided that involving the police was in the best interest of the city. So he says he's putting the city ahead of his family, I think.
Oh, good.
I don't think so.
How many people in the city are benefiting by this, then?
That's a good question. Yeah, why? How has the city put it? Well, the lawsuits, I guess? I don't know. I mean, nobody said, oh, we'll give up the lawsuits. We'll give you your property back. I mean, nothing like that's going on. Duggan said Carmack earlier promised the city's top lawyer they would drop a bomb.
Ready for a bomb?
Oh, bomb? Are they taking it literally? Unless the city...
Oh, maybe that's it.
Unless the city agreed to end the lawsuits. 2 weeks ago, that bomb hit when Carmack paraded a surveillance video around City Hall.
Ready for a bomb?
That purported to show the mayor visiting the home of a woman who
Bob
is
Carmack.
Not his wife. He promised more releases. This morning, I referred the matter to the Michigan State Police.
What the hell happened that night?
State Police spokeswoman Shannon Banner confirmed Duggan reached out and said the agency would be meeting with the mayor to discuss the allegations. I'm not sure what the allegation is. Let's see. It's part of the profile. Carmack said to the mayor.
There's too much vague space in this story.
Yeah.
He's in for a fight. Don't mess with the bull. You'll get the horn.
Whoa. I love it when people say that.
He's a suburban gangster. They don't fit in our town. We'll kick his ass back to Livonia. But I thought he was already there.
Wait.
Wasn't that the big line from Breakfast Club where that principal said that?
Oh, yeah.
Mess with the bull, you'll get the horn.
All right.
That,
he's a suburban gangster, though?
Suburban gangster, I think, would be the correct
well, wait a
way
minute,
to say
though.
That, but I don't know.
Are there any really vicious street fighters in the suburbs?
Yeah.
That's not where your gangsters are.
Kind of a strange thing to say, but Mike
Duggan's
a
political bullshit.
Mike Duggan's a tough guy. He's a fighter. He's not one to sit back.
No.
Now, Charlie LaDuff has done a story on the press conference today. Let's see what Charlie has to say. But first this. We all know the best way to support the podcast is support our loyal sponsors. Our studio sponsor, good friend, DealsInTheD.com, and the entire Zot Auto Group want to give you a couple more reasons to support our sponsors while supporting our podcast. Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep, Zot Dodge Ram, Zot Toyota make buying or leasing your next new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV fun, exciting, and hassle-free. They've got massive inventories. The hottest models are all ready for immediate delivery. Zot Auto also has the lowest prices, lowest payments, and best interest rates, period. So head to any of these dealerships, pick up your next vehicle, and have fun, and tell them that we sent you, any of us,
period.
Or all of us. And if you're too lazy to get off the couch, head to DealsInTheD.com. And surf their sensational deals and massive inventory right now. It is car buying season.
Mm-hmm.
Car news today, too.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Yeah. Dr. Roche, meanwhile, they're busy, and people are lining up for those holiday spaces when you've got recovery time, maybe for some liposuction or some new boobs or fat transfers. You know, it's recovery time for a lot of these isn't that long, but some of them more than others. So it's a good time, the holiday season. It's kind of weird to think of that, that a business like this would be so hot during the holiday season. But they
Why? You run into people you haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, you want to look your best, or you want to hide from them recovering from your surgery. And yes, it is skin season, too, if you want to do those laser treatments. Or
always best when you're pasty white.
Yes, it is. The laser doesn't hurt. You don't even feel it.
Right.
But when you've got an unshaven face, like I did once, that hurts a little bit. Actually, it hurt a lot, but I sucked it up. That's why you're supposed to shave before you get a laser. Anyway, yeah, any of those things that they do over there, whether it's Brazilian butt lift or Diva or any of those things, how do people like to get things done? Because they've got time off. Although Diva, there's, of course, the recovery is quite simple. But in some of those other cases, maybe it's a little more dramatic. Or fat transfer, or the Greg Roche facelift, which doesn't involve cutting skin and putting sideburns behind your ears and you know, those crazy ways people used to do that.
A combination of different minimally invasive.
Yes. And he likes to do things as naturally as possible. Anyway, 248-338-1110, 248-338-1110 for Dr. Roche. And meanwhile, let's see how Deadline Detroit covered the story by Charlie LaDuff. Detroit businessman Bob Carmack was reached by telephone at his place of work immediately after the mayor's extraordinary press conference Monday, where he admitted embarrassing behavior. Media already descended on his building. Carmack shouted at someone to turn off the lights, turn down the radio, and lock the front door. Did you hear the press conference, I asked? No, I didn't hear it. What did he say? He said you extorted him. He's referring to the state police. That's okay. That's good. I got my videos, motherfucker. I'm going to pull my shit to the feds. Fuck the police.
Oh.
Ooh, wow.
He should have been cranking.
Fuck the police.
Fuck the police, yeah. Carmack not supplying new details about what he had in surveillance tape concerning the mayor's whereabouts and extracurriculars beyond statements he made to Deadline Detroit that he had the mayor sleeping in the burbs and in compromising situations.
Ooh.
Now, why doesn't the Detroit Free Press have that? Quote, is Charlie the only one talking to Bob Carmack? How does Charlie know all the people in the middle of these stories?
He's on the ground.
He, you know what? Tucker Carlson said that about Charlie, and it's true. He is on the ground. He is very much on the ground.
Yeah.
He's always having a beer with a cop or somebody.
Well, in Shit Show, too. He was with those weird dudes out there at the standoff.
Right there, on site.
Seattle or Oregon? Where was that? That was Oregon, right?
Oh, he was all over the country.
Yeah, that's true.
At one point or another, he was in Missouri, and that was going to hell. The mayor made oblique references to the suburbs of Franklin and Warren at his press conference, but said his clothes and pets could be found at the Manoogian Mansion. He offered to give reporters a tour. Deadline Detroit took him up on the offer. Oh, I bet he wasn't expecting that. But Duggan's representatives have yet to respond. Carmack also confirmed he did send an intermediary to speak with the mayor, but he did not offer a dollar amount to the mayor through that intermediary. He suspected he was being set up in an extortion entrapment scheme. Carmack's intermediary, who is well known to the mayor and public and spoke on condition of anonymity, confirmed that Carmack did not ask for money. And now things become interesting. Carmack excused himself through heavy breathing when he was deep in the political weeds. And the state police were probably minutes from knocking on his door. Let me go. I got to get my brain together. Try Deadline.
Great story.
Yeah. This thing just came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it must have been mulling it all weekend, ever since the video.
I just mean the whole video surveillance and all that. Deadline Detroit has also learned that the woman whose condominium he was seen visiting multiple times in a Ford Taurus while wearing a ball cap and sunglasses was not informed of the press conference until 10 minutes before the cameras began to roll. She declined comment through a representative. We really haven't seen her.
No. She's invisible.
I always feel for the people who are sort of tertiary.
Kind of roped
families.
Into this scandal.
Maybe they're a little more than roped in. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but it just, that's got to be tough.
Yeah. Well, when are we supposed to know? What is the resolution of all this?
Well, when Carmack, I don't know.
Carmack's state police timing is frustrating. Of course, nothing could happen over the Thanksgiving week. Nobody could do anything over the Thanksgiving week, I noticed. Everybody was so...
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
What?
We actually had an incoming phone call.
I noticed that.
Who's on the phone?
Who was on the phone?
Hello?
Yo.
How you guys doing?
Are you trying to disguise your voice because you're not supposed to be on this show?
Maybe.
Why is this person calling?
It must be Carol because that's the caller ID said Carol on it.
You're correct. No, this is Ty Nepenis.
Oh, Hughes' brother.
I've been hanging on to that one for a while. But you guys didn't hear the breaking news?
What?
Someone has been located.
What?
Wait, John Bobbitt?
Other side of the country.
It's somebody we talked about yesterday, and I said, yeah. I've tried finding him before, and I've never had any luck. And Jim decided, or this person decided,
Ty
decided to go in and try and find him.
Who are we talking about? I can't remember.
You didn't even listen to the show yesterday.
To the podcast.
I remember the conversation, but every time we talk about finding someone, it always seems like it's John Bobbitt. But
how
wait.
About here, William Chappelle III?
Oh, that's
the
right.
Worst part, truly, is that I made some real friends here. And I'm not sure if I'm ever going to see him again.
But the problem was is that we could never find a phone number for him, and Jim messaged him.
No,
I mean, Ty messaged him. God damn it. Carol messaged him.
Wow. Yeah. Did he respond?
Yes, and he was pumped. Drew, I may have stroked his ego a little bit. The message said he's a.
What did you say to him, Ty?
I told him he was a big part of Drew and Mike pop culture.
That's true.
And has been for years.
Oh, that drop was played so many times.
He said he responded, and I didn't tell him we laughed at all, but he responded, "Oh my God, I love this." He gave me his phone number, said, "Give me about an hour because I'm in poor reception right now."
Well, he's probably, I mean, he was a hilarious player on the show. I never knew what happened.
Well,
I mean,
remember, we
he
never
was going to go. He was going to be higher than Mark on the Cuban, Forbes 400.
We never saw the final episode, though. It got bumped and played at like 3 a.m. in the morning locally.
That's right.
Did you guys interview him after that?
No.
No, we've never talked to him. But
That
was just played so many times, and I can't hear it without thinking of a giant safety.
The worst part, truly, is that I made some real friends here, and I'm not sure if I'm ever going to see him again.
I wonder if
you know how happy how many times I've looked this up to and have not been able to find him.
I'm elated.
What was the breakthrough?
Trudy, I can't even remember. I was literally just searching on my phone. I was searching on my computer.
I think sending him the message was huge.
Oh.
And I found a Facebook page that said he had a blog.
Oh.
What kind of fucking blog does he have? And it's boring as shit.
What's he write about?
What does he appear to be doing, though? I think that's huge, because he was going to be ahead of Mark on the Fortune 400.
Yeah, he looks like he may have a decent job, but...
better than Cuban?
He's not working for someone else, is he?
And I did notice that maybe he was ahead of Cuban, but there was a divorce possibly in his past, so that's what knocked him down. I believe.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Whoa.
Well, this is huge breaking news. This is so silly.
I had kids.
He has.
I know how you feel. I don't want to bum you out. Take away your time from your kids.
You bonded over the little Japanese's.
The Nepenises.
Sorry, pronunciation.
Tyler Nepenis.
Cool. Well, Jim, Ty, that's huge. Well,
I know, and I can't wait to hear you guys talk to him, but I won't be near your house. I don't even know where you live. I can't come near, but.
Well, that's,
but I'm excited.
That lie's already been destroyed because some people said you might have let the dogs out, or someone did.
Oh, it's crazy. No, it wasn't me. It wasn't
me. All right. Well, thanks, Jim. We'll get on the
you're
horn.
You're welcome, by the way.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's huge.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
it.
All right. We'll see you guys.
Hang in there. Bye. We'll see you, Jim.
Hi, Ty.
Ty.
Wow. Well, do you want to call him today?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Why don't we do a break and call him? Just why break the momentum?
God, that's exciting.
Call him over the break. These teases today are fantastic.
And I'm trying any audio or video that I can find of him to reacquaint ourselves with anything else he did on that show other than the bodacious claim or crying.
Well, we don't even know if he won. Let me
no, he was kicked off in the second episode because that's when he was very sad.
Oh!
Was like, the sad part is, hey, it's the holiday season where people and families come together and wishes come true. It's why Hoop McInerney Starlink and celebrates the season by hosting the annual Lincoln Wishlist sales event at Star Lincoln. The amazing prices make America's premier luxury car feel like it's their gift to you. The sporty MKC, the new optionated Nautilus, and, of course, the 2018 North American Truck of the Year, the Navigator, they make up the line of SUVs that surpasses all other brands. If you're looking for a sedan, they have the MKZ. It's wildly popular, and they have the legendary Continental. 'Tis the season where Detroit's most accommodating and knowledgeable sales team connects you to the car of your dreams, including our very own Jimmy D. He'll find that car for you, 855-567-STAR, or you can email him, jimmyd@starlincoln.com. Be a part of the Lincoln legend. Come see Star's beautifully remodeled showroom. It's the perfect environment to shop, test drive, and then take home the Star of American luxury cars. It's the Lincoln Wishlist Sales Event. It runs through January 2nd at Star Lincoln. It's at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield.
Okay, I just searched for him. He was 28 when The Benefactor was on in 2004.
Uh-huh.
So he would be 42 now. And it's just, I mean, this is the most obscure person to find. I mean, to think he was on a show that had one season.
It bombed. It did not.
Didn't do well.
Here's a video, a small video clip
push
of him.
Me around, push back.
I do autopsies.
I'd like to start a punk.
I do autopsies. That's all he said.
He does autopsies?
I don't know what he's talking about.
He's going to get a Cuban on the Fortune 400. That's pretty, I mean, that was possibly the most bodacious claim anyone's ever made. I mean, did the guy that split the atom say he was going to split the atom? I don't think so.
Well, it's not a joke.
I made Cuban laugh in that clip.
It's funny. I didn't picture him looking like that. I completely forgot. I'm just so stuck on the audio, which I heard a million times.
The top comment on this YouTube video is, "The Benefactor sucks. The Apprentice is the best."
Oh. Why are people such assholes? I was reading comments about Michigan, Ohio State today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Between the Michigan State fans who are saying Michigan sucks and Harbaugh sucks.
And Ohio State fans.
And well, there weren't so many of them on the comments on the Detroit News site. There were a few. And then there were the Michigan fans telling the writers that they suck. That Jim Harbaugh is better at his job than they are at their job.
Oh.
It was like, oh, my God. Not much being said that was worth hanging on to.
No. I hate it when the comments are so predictable, though, you know?
Look
to the comments to be groundbreaking.
Did you ever read TMZ comments?
Yeah. They're great.
They're amazing. It's like, wait, this is a story about Kim Kardashian and you're talking about Trump. Why are people bitching out or saying they love Trump or hate Trump on a stupid story about P. Diddy or Kim Porter dying? It's amazing. It devolves into that every time. There's just trolls nonstop.
By the way, the Kardashian ecstasy thing?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. The sex tape was a product of ecstasy?
That's what she said today. She also took people on a tour of Kanye's 747.
Yeah, I saw that.
Really?
Which they took the trainer on the flight because they have a workout room. It was a long flight. So they took the trainer. I don't know how he gets home. Do they fly him back on a chopper?
I get him. That's pretty sweet, though. Damn cool.
Honestly, you know, you want to go, oh, you assholes. But I was watching it. I watched the whole video.
Well, I mean, just having your own 747.
Yeah, no.
Cool.
I don't blame him. I mean, I'm not saying.
Well, who would want to fly with him? And who would fly him?
Yeah, anyway, especially if you have to work out.
Well.
It was to work out on a flight.
But he's such a, you know, like he's just an irrational person. I think a lot of times because he's stunting, but.
Sure, but he
would never be able to behave himself on flights long enough to get anywhere. So.
Do you think.
He needs a 747.
I'm kind of surprised that those two are still together.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, they're almost perfect for each other. They're both annoying.
And self-absorbed.
I
think I would find him more difficult than her, and that's saying something.
Oh, God, really? Wow.
Well, I don't know.
Well, she's just, there's nothing there. I don't.
No, exactly. She's innocuous.
God. How dare you?
I mean, what they have, they both have their love of Kanye in common.
I think there's more love of self. Maybe they're so busy loving themselves, they don't have time to get mad at each other. Well, let's try William Chappelle. Let's see what progress he's made.
More.
I know it's crazy. There was just that one drop, and anybody who's listened to the show for any length of time remembers.
What's the diaper though with the big diaper pins? Well, Mike, what was the origin?
Because he was crying so hard, Mike wanted but felt he needed two giant safety pins and a diaper for his face.
That has been hitting the Drew Mike fans commentary a lot.
Yes. I'm sure a lot of people have no idea what it means.
but it was a comical thought.
It's weird when someone goes out of the second show of, you know, one of those elimination shows and they're crying when they go out. He was so emotional. And he really, when he loses, when he says, I made some good friends here. And actually, that became something people said.
Yes. I think he still made.
We're saying goodbye to friends.
Think you did ever see him again?
Cuban or any of his friends? That's what I'd like to know.
That's a good question.
He may be surprised by our focus on the drop.
Hello, this is William.
William Chappelle?
William Chappell.
Okay. Chappell, okay. Sorry about that, William. Hey, it's Drew and Mike in Detroit.
Oh, wow. Hey, how are you?
How are you doing?
Good. Am I on the air right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you holding the phone out of the car?
I am. I'm in the car. I'm in the middle of a rainstorm out in Washington right now.
Oh, really? That's
It sounds kind of crazy. We were just playing some audio back from the old Benefactor show where you were talking about you were very emotional leaving the show about you were sorry you were leaving all your good friends behind, and then you said you would pass Mark Cuban in the Fortune 400.
Well, yeah, I mean, I still got time, right?
Are you close?
I was just thinking about that the other day. Let me pull over a second. I had 1,000 Bitcoin in 2015.
Oh, wow.
Wait, 1,000 Bitcoin in 2015? That's huge. Did you sell it?
No, I lost it. Who knows where it is?
What?
I lost a USB drive.
Oh, my God.
What?
It was only like $100.
Yeah, then.
Wait, where? How did you lose it?
That seems like the appropriate thing for him. I don't know why.
Probably
threw it away.
Can you explain?
Probably in the trash in a landfill in Gresham, Oregon. Probably.
Yeah, a lot of people hire people to go through landfills looking for.
Wait, was
lost Bitcoin? Should.
So that was something you did unintentionally.
Yeah.
Well, I intended to make a profit. I didn't intend to lose it, no.
But I mean, did you threw this away, right? I mean, or did somebody steal it from you? Or I'm not sure what you're saying.
I just lost it. You know, I mean, who knows? I've moved.
Drew, he has so much money. He does. It doesn't matter that he lost it. It's,
that $100 was nothing to me. That's right.
Oh boy. So what are you doing? Are you an entrepreneur now?
No. I'm working for the man. I'm a medical sales rep for a company out here in the West Coast.
Okay, and when you did leave the show, you were very emotional about the friends that you'd made on the show. Did you stay in touch with them?
Yeah, did you ever see them again?
I had not seen them, no.
None of them?
I kept in touch with some of them via Facebook, and I guess I'm still friends with some of them. I haven't talked with any of them in 10 years.
Are you still emotional about that?
I just was emotional today. You should have been there. The Mars lander. when it, I watched it live on NASA TV and got emotional.
Was that on your was that on your break or your own time? Is that on your own time or were you clocked in?
That was on my phone while I was driving.
Oh, that's safe.
Yeah,
you seem very concerned to take a phone call.
I was just going through the icy passes in Washington, but perfectly safe.
Yeah. Do you still talk to Cubes at all, Mark Cuban?
No, I haven't talked with him since I brought him a business idea and he rejected it and then stole it.
You were on.
He's wait. He stole it. He stole it. Are you going to sue him?
It wasn't. You ever heard of Roll-A-Banna? It's like a little thing that you roll out and it says like "Go Team" or whatever.
Oh yeah.
NBA has it. So yeah. So I was roommates with a guy who bought the patent, and I took it directly to Mark Cuban, and I don't think he stole it, but he said no, it sucks, and then the NBA bought a million units.
Oh, what?
My buddy.
Huh. How pissed is your roommate at you?
He's not mad at me because he got the million units. You know, he owns the patent, but I didn't get the sale. So.
Wait, did you get a broker's fee or anything?
A finder's fee?
No, I didn't. He didn't get it from me. He sold the NBA. I was trying to sell the Maverick.
Oh, man.
So I didn't get the sale.
Was that on Shark Tank? Were you on Shark Tank?
No, it never went on Shark Tank.
Huh.
It didn't matter, Drew. He had all that Bitcoin.
That's right.
Fall back on.
I had over 1,000 Bitcoin. Come on now.
Wow,
I didn't need that money.
1,000 Bitcoin is at $20,000, so 1,000 times $20,000, if he had sold it at $20,000. That's a lot of dough.
No, I would have lost it at $20,000 then. I'll lose it again.
Wow.
Probably.
No, I think you have a half a Bitcoin now, so it's worth half as much as it was yesterday, so.
Well, we had heard the audio of your departure from the benefactor many times, and so we kept saying, "Well, I wonder what happened to William. I wonder if he actually is in the Forbes 400. If he passed Mark Cuban, if he's still in front of the people, he was going to miss so much."
Hey, what made you cry? Why did you cry?
Yeah, you seem really emotional.
Oh, I was emotional. You know, you get emotional. I'm a wuss like that. Still am.
Do you cry a lot?
Cried at the Mars land.
No.
Did you cry at the Mars land?
We said he got emotional.
I cried at the Mars landing today. I did. And Armageddon, every single time, just every time when Bruce Willis shows up, dies. You know. Sorry.
Cry over Bruce Willis?
That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
What is there a song that makes you cry?
Probably that theme song.
Probably that, what's that, proud to be an American.
Oh, Lee Greenwood.
Wait, you cry about that?
Yeah, there you go. Lee Greenwood show.
Well, people, it's possible. I think that's possible. That's plausible.
I thought this would make him cry.
Okay. What's this?
I can't believe you're still playing that.
Theme from Armageddon.
Oh, the theme from Armageddon?
Yeah.
Oh, see, there it is.
What?
That part is the part with the little animal crackers on Liv Tyler's belly. That makes me cry, too. For a totally different reason.
What's going on with you? Are you married, or do you have kids or anything?
No, I got three kids. I got three kids.
Do they cry?
I'm a single dad.
He cries more than
that. They cry all the time because it's the devil leaving their body. So
what?
I like to see them cry. The devil, the demons leaving their body. That's when a child cries. You should be happy because it's a better human being every time they cry.
I got to tell you, having two kids, I'd rather the devil stays inside them. That crying is pretty annoying.
Interesting theory, though. I've never heard that.
So when you were married, did you have a big wedding? Did you have a wedding song?
What was that song? I don't remember. You know, I'm not married anymore.
Yeah, when you get divorced, I think you leave that behind. Maybe.
I had a friend from college play a country song. What was it?
Oh, gross.
I know. See now.
Yeah, we're more of a rock and roll thing here. But William, listen, it's fun to catch up with you. We've heard that audio many times. We wonder what happened to William Chappell. Is he fighting with Mark Cuban for position? is he still talking to the friends he was going to miss so much? And we learned that maybe those things aren't happening, but it was a moment in time, and we do appreciate your spending time with us explaining it.
Well, there's so many better things to make fun of me on that's out there.
Well, yeah, really the Bitcoin.
Well, there's the Bitcoin, but I did a Marilyn Monroe thing where I was a drag queen with Dennis Rodman. That's a lot more material there.
Wait, what?
Well, we'll have to locate that. And is that online?
Hey, get a better phone too.
Yeah, can you invent a better phone?
Well, I did pull over, so at least we're not breaking the law anymore.
Yeah, it's a little scratchy. So your drag queen Marilyn Monroe thing, is that online somewhere?
I don't think so, yeah. Geek the Freak with Dennis Rodman, drag queen, yeah.
Oh.
We'll get it up there and we'll check it out. But William, we got to run, but thank you so much for your time.
Hey, thanks. Call me anytime. It's fun.
Okay, hope you find the Bitcoin. See care. You, buddy. Bye-bye. He sounds the same.
He does. He's a goofball.
He gets emotional about things a lot, apparently.
There's so much softness in the world. I mean, I remember at the time when Survivor started and The Real World, I used to talk about that. Why are all these people crying on TV? It was so, at the time, it was like, well, first of all, reality TV was new, but it just seemed like that was sort of a precursor to the current softness. We saw signs of it back then.
It was a gateway softness.
Crying on television shows.
Yeah.
But,
and then it just became permissible to cry. Well, it's one of those attention getting. Everybody's trying so hard to be noticed on those shows, right?
I would not cry on a show. Forget it.
It always happens when you get kicked off.
But the real world, they get
the worst part. Truly, is that I made some real friends here, and I'm not sure if I'm ever going to see them again.
Mike, wow. Mike loved that.
He did.
Not sure if ever going
He's a snort. Single dad to three children.
Wow.
Well, a lot's happened since then.
I know. Those kids are moves soft. On.
Those kids are soft.
You know, we should mention the other local news today. GM is letting go about 14,000 people.
Yeah.
Which, you know, honestly, when I first saw that, I was like, ugh, you know, that's not good. I mean, nothing... Anything bad for the big three, well, the big three, they're not the big three anymore, whatever you want to call them, is not good for our area. But I was reading, I think it was Rod Maloney's analysis.
Of course. He was out there.
Wait, would that be Rod? Yeah, Rod was out there. Wasn't he at 4 o'clock? Yeah.
Wind blown.
And I know. It was nice to meet Rod. I had not met him in all these years, and then Mike dies, and he comes by, and it was really nice to meet Rod. But anyway... you know, the UAW, of course, is livid, like, we will fight this, because there's 6,000 blue-collar jobs disappearing.
Jesus.
8,100 white-collar jobs.
Yeah.
And it still seems strange. I still haven't gotten used to the whole UAW thing where they, you know, it's their job. They fight anything that would eliminate any labor whatsoever or any cuts in anything or raises that aren't big enough. I think after... We bailed out GM and the price it cost. I mean, to for those jobs to be the cost per job saved was a phenomenal amount of money. I mean, remember all those billions?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would prefer that GM stop doing things that aren't making money, personally. And I'm not saying I'm happy these jobs are going. Of course, that's terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, look at the Carzars. Was it 30 people, 40 people?
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, all smart people. And they said, okay, they got to get rid of this brand, this brand, this brand, this brand. And they shed them. And all of a sudden, hey, what do you know? Not so bad.
Well, they're getting rid of three cars. They're getting rid of the Volt, the all-electric car.
Yeah, the Volt, which, you know, how much money did they put into the Volt? Well, they really want to keep throwing good money after bad?
But they're basically getting rid of cars because nobody's buying cars. Everybody's buying SUVs because gas prices are low.
Now.
But we know that's going to flip.
Well, the price of oil is very low right now. I mean, almost scary low.
Because Iran's still allowed to sell theirs. Every sanction was put back down except for selling oil.
It's tricky business. But anyway, you know, Rob Maloney, not to quote Rob Maloney, as if Rob Maloney's the ultimate source here, but he did say that, I think it was Rod that said it, or maybe I read it. I'm giving Rod too much credit. Why do I give people so much credit? Heck, Brandon, Rod Maloney. I have to start a list of people I give too much credit to. No, I love Rod. Just the idea that, is this GM being sensible and...
Well, their stock price rather than 5.5%, so...
Yeah, no, the stock price did go up. Investors absolutely liked it because they, instead of doing the endless promotions and price cutting that they used to do, mm-hmm. remember how they'd be giving away cars practically?
Yeah.
And there'd be all these, what do they call them? Rebates and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they all used to complain about that and say, oh, we're not going to do that. But they would always do it. And then once they started, shedding these brands that just were dying, which, you know, I think for the heads of these monolith companies, it was hard to do because, yeah, but there's people that run those brands. And there's 50 executives who are friends of mine and there's 10,000 managers and, you know, they don't want to do that.
I'm sure this is going to sound like a dumb question to a lot of people out there, but why is it so hard to shift from making one type of car to another?
Because you have to design it, and then all of the mechanism that goes into making it has to be redesigned, yeah, and the molds and everything.
How about
everything.
You redesign the line?
The design process?
Yeah. So you don't just have to eliminate all these jobs.
It's pretty efficient, though.
Well,
now,
I'm sure it's way more efficient
sort of the
than chemical it ever
used of its to be. Efficiency.
But wouldn't you think it'd be even more efficient? Like, we're going to stop making that car right now. We're going to make more trucks and SUVs out of this factory.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Someone out there works in the industry can tell me why or explain why.
Well, there's that lag time between starting something. I mean, from new project to off the line, it's incredibly long.
Yeah.
If they could shorten that amount of time, sure it'd be nice.
But sure you have to put orders for so many parts and raw materials.
Yeah, you have to. And then the parts,
but everything's faster today.
Parts have to be specific to a certain way that it comes together. And
but everything's just
don't you
so
wonder how efficient it really is?
That's what I mean.
I've often wondered, but you know, the parts on time business where everything arrives at just the right time instead of stockpiling these ridiculous amounts.
Well, remember when that one plant or someone in a supply chain, they had that fire?
Yeah.
Thing, you know, there were no Explorer. I think it was the Explorer for a while.
So the
margin of error is too small.
Yeah.
But
do you see who was not happy about the announcement?
Trump.
Here's quote.
I think he's implying that after all we've done
I was very
them,
tough. I spoke with her when I heard they were closing.
I love that he starts with, I was very tough. Is that what he said? Or
no, it he said
was
it
to Mary,
was
okay. To Mary Barra.
Okay.
Oh, he said he was very tough.
Yes.
Short time ago, President Trump says he spoke to Mary Barra, the CEO of General Motors.
I was very tough. Wow. I spoke with her when I heard they were closing. And I said, you know, this country's done a lot for General Motors. You better get back in there soon. That's Ohio. And you better get back in there soon. I'm not happy about it. Their car is not selling well, so they'll put something else. I have no doubt that in a not too distant future, they'll put something else. They better put something else.
What?
Okay, they'll put something else. They better put something else.
What is he going to do?
Why is
I don't know,
he?
It's the federal government.
You know, honestly, I understand what he's saying. He's clearly
you translate
appealing.
Then.
He's trying to appeal to Ohio and Michigan and the blue collar people that support him, or he hopes will
more
support
Ohio
him
than Michigan
by saying, "God damn it, I'm pissed that those jobs are going away."
But it's a lot more complex than that.
Yeah, it's not that simple, of course.
And the car, like they make one car.
I better get something back in there.
It's almost as simple as...
I mean, it's my car. I pay for everything. I pay for everything around here, right?
I mean, very simple logic.
I don't even know if... it's not that simple. It's not that simple.
What?
It was actually my car, but I bought it for her.
Yeah, but he
paid for it. He bought it for her, and he's letting her use it. It's pretty simple.
It's not his car because he gifted it, and she, you know, whatever.
Here's my question is, though, the cars are not cool anymore, so you have to get an SUV, like you said, but... Yeah. Aren't the Camaros going to be? They'll probably still
Trudy,
make that.
Probably selling
this
well.
Is so weird, but to you and I, muscle cars are so cool. I love muscle cars. I know you do. You
yeah,
like fast
yeah,
cars.
Definitely.
You always drive a fast, cool car. I envy you. I always think I should ask Trudy before I buy my next car. But and by the way, your current car, is it fixed since the incident with the roof?
I have not yet taken it to the body shop yet. But
you're driving that. That must pain you every time you get in it. Or are you getting used to it?
Well, no, I mean, not at all. But it's not like there's a big, if it were a dent in the side or something like that, like a big one, like you got, you know, caved in.
Oh, no, you have to look closely to see it.
Yeah, you kind of do, but it's still a bummer. Anyway.
Pretty song. B&B is waiting for you.
I know.
Hold on to your dick!
They have seen much of my business.
Yep, they've had some of mine too. The thing is, apparently these damn millennials are killing muscle cars.
They don't like cars.
But
they don't want to own them.
All you see are Dodge Challengers and Chargers. Chargers everywhere you go.
You're right. I do see a lot of those.
Those are never going to end, right? Well, Chrysler could never let that go.
Chrysler? Fiat. Wait, what's Chrysler called now?
Fiat.
Daimler, Chrysler? Fiat, Chrysler, something.
No Daimler anymore.
No, Daimler.
Daimler's
Fiat
out.
Fiat Chrysler?
Daimler's gone.
Fiat Chrysler.
Yeah, it's Fiat Chrysler. You're right. I see them all the time, too.
Yeah.
They must be doing well. They're not cutting anyone today.
They're fine, yeah.
Is Gosen in charge?
No. No, he's Nissan.
I know, I'm joking.
I know, but that's...
He had a fun week.
Jeez. You know, these...
He would have got away with that, like, if in a different era.
It wasn't for rotten kids.
Chrysler losing Marchionne and Ford losing... What's his name? Alan Mulally. Those guys were fantastic. Mm-hmm. Both of them. You know, I don't know if they were just lucky, if it's like being the president of the United States, where if everything's good, it doesn't matter what the hell you do. Everything goes. But they seemed like really sharp guys, especially Mulally. Well, they both were great.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, I mean...
Now there's a Michigan guy running Ford, and their stock's not doing so well. Although their stock's up today.
Is it?
It's at 9:29,
I think. Oh, Ford.
Nice. But yeah, Ford was at $18 a year.
What is that, a race car?
You know what I saw the other day though that was weird, because we're talking about all these brands that are now being downsized. Mm-hmm. Somebody had a Maserati SUV. It's not a freaking ugly vehicle.
SUV, really?
Why would you make a car? It'd be like making a Lambo SUV or something. That's
cool.
Or Ferrari.
Now we're talking.
What about the Mercedes station wagon?
Turn up the rubber with my Lamborghini.
I know. I mean, that just is.
It just defies. That's just wrong.
It is wrong.
Kind of ruins
really,
the brand for when you think of a Maserati or a Lambo.
I know. Who buys that by, you know, what's stuck up? I think that's the wife's car, of the trophy wife's car or something. Possibly.
Oh, of the head of the company?
I want a Mercedes station wagon. Too small.
All right.
Calls this man cost me a Lamborghini.
Little Tay, where's Little Tay?
Yeah, she's...
Let me find her.
Laid low.
Oh, boy. Okay, so is it possible you get life-changing eye surgery without having to dip into your bank account? Yes, it is.
Yes.
Many of you have the Flex account or health savings account. That means that unspent money for 2018 will disappear if you don't use it by the end of the year. Why? That seems so unfair to me.
Yeah, I know. Why don't you just cash it? I mean, how...
Well, I mean, so you should just have some health problem just to use up the money?
Yeah.
I mean...
I agree!
You'll twist an ankle.
Thank you.
Get an
MRI. Thank you, Obama.
Or maybe...
I agree!
Maybe it does go over, but Eli's just suggesting, hey, you've got all this money in the account. Why don't talk to Dr. Yeldo? Call the Yeldo Eye Center. Put that money to good use so it'll benefit you for the rest of your life. Custom LASIK will free you from your expensive and annoying contacts, give you better vision than you've had with glasses, and if you have reading issues, could solve those too. Nobody in Michigan can match Dr. Yaldo's experience and precision. Mm-hmm. And if you're 50 or older, Dr. Yaldo will show you those incredible multifocal lens implants that Eli has. This technology produces lifetime lasting vision at all lengths.
I swear he got the X-ray vision.
We've tested him many times. You'll read the tiny print and be amazed. So find out your best option. Finding out your best option costs nothing. Get a free evaluation. Call 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Just reminded of something. I think Yaldo Eye Center's off this week. No, they were off last week. Whoa. That's right. Oh. But I think they were on last week.
Oh.
I think they got free ads.
Oh.
Yeah, boy.
Oops.
Who's doing the bookkeeping around?
I know. Who's in charge of this? Somebody talk to traffic and find out what the hell happened.
To Dana. In traffic.
Yeah. I sent something to the merch department today.
I did too.
Really?
Did you?
Oh, it's probably the same thing. The guy that didn't get his receipt?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm overwhelmed by our two emails.
Can't the merch department, can they react on a dime? Can Mr. Marasso maybe arrange for the sweatpants? I love the idea of the Drew and Mike Show sweatpants. We need those.
With the logo right on the crotch.
On the ass. Right or the crotch.
Upside down right on the crotch.
Like it's holding it.
Sweet.
Exactly.
Or
what?
When chicks
what?
Wear it.
What are you talking about? What?
Never mind.
That sounds cool.
Draw your own picture.
Like
sounds like he fingered her.
Mark looks like.
I don't think these things can turn around in the day. I don't think the merch department is big enough to do that.
Oh, God, no. And it's way slower than like turning a factory around by the big three.
Really?
Well, no, I wouldn't say
a lot
that.
Of moving. There's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, there are. Wow. Well, once it gets going, though, I have to say Joey is one anal dude.
Yeah.
And this guy, I predict he will know the answer to his question soon. I don't know.
I already answered his question, though. That's what bothered me about
it. You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
I already sent him a receipt.
Is Joey's preg wife slowing him down?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Why would they? Either.
I don't know.
If anything, speed it up. Change. Get out of the house.
Yeah, might be.
I got work to do.
Have you talked to Brandon today, by the way?
And I talked to him today. I talked to him yesterday.
He sent prep.
I know.
And so. He wrote on the top, sorry I can't be with you guys.
Aw, that was kind of sad.
That's kind of soft.
How's the baby?
Baby's fine.
Baby Brandon.
Great. Brandon. No word on Red Dead Redemption, though.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. Steve Gabarin, the hottest sales staff in Oakland County, are excited about the Black Friday Sign and Drive Zero Cash Due event going on right now and lasting through the month. It's not just Black Friday. It is going to the end of November.
But he did say, hurry up, because
yeah, he did. Once
when
they're gone. Black Friday deals start early at Zodford and Holly, and they are maztastic deals. The 18 Ford Fusion, $121 a month. Yes,
and it's good.
You can get it for that low at the Sign and Drive Zero Cash Due Black Friday event. Or at least an 18 Ford Escape as low as $141
and
a month.
It's good.
It could be. Sign and Drive Zero Cash Due, $141. How about leasing a new 18 Ford
Edge? God.
As low as 177, it was 188, down to 177. Sign and drive, zero cash due. Or at least an 18 Ford F-150 Super Crew 4x4 as low as 212 a month. Sign and drive, zero cash due. Can somebody text Maz and see if there are any wheels going out of that place?
Sure, and find out how much snow he had to shovel today.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah, I did get his text.
Hey, it's gone. Just don't worry about it. It's gone.
Wait, what text?
He sent me a picture. Let's see.
I was so worked up about this snow that never happened.
It's a beer can sitting in
snow.
Oh, my God. The snow belt up there in Holly.
Yeah. I knew they got a lot of snow up there.
Really?
My in-laws live up there, yeah.
Did you see there were 18-foot waves on Lake Michigan?
Cool.
18-footers.
18.
Surfing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Surfing.
Wow, I've never heard of them being that big.
Either.
Jeez.
They were, the Today Show is warning people to stay away from the coast of Lake Michigan because you'll be washed away.
Off Today Show.
That's like the biggest wave I've ever ridden in my life.
Okay, I got the text out. We should know soon. Maz does drag down Zod Ford's hot quotient, but his strong customer service and pre-waiving of commissions make up for it. So support the Drew and Mike Show and help Maz afford his daughter's holiday gifts. They're in real jeopardy by taking advantage of Zod Ford's Black Friday Sign and Drive Zero Cash Due event. Only from our friends at DealsInTheD.com. So there.
If you don't have it, forget it, right?
And then finally, last but not least, retirement is fast approaching for many of us, but deciding when to retire can be daunting. You don't have to do it alone. Luke can help you determine if you can say, I can do that, like our friend Derek, or I don't know how to do it, like our friend Derek. He'd love to help you. For instance, it's not ideal to have to work 10 hours a day through retirement. Call Luke today, 248-663-4748, for a complimentary consultation to discuss your retirement plans, regardless of where you are in the process. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned and other entities, and our marketing names, products, and services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
See you on Friday.
There he is. Yeah.
So I was watching the dog show.
The what show?
Vacation.
Oh, the Westminster.
It's the thing? Other one. Oh, the National Dog Show. That's a slummy version.
There's more than one dog show.
Okay. Yeah, there is. But they had papillons.
They did?
Yeah.
Really? Do they look like Mags and Layla? Probably not.
No.
You sent me the
Mags
one picture.
Mags and Layla.
And all I could think of was, my dogs aren't very well groomed compared to that dog.
You needed a picture to tell you that?
No.
No.
Layla and Mag.
The part about their grooming, though, that was most astounding is that these show dogs had these long ears, like this, like almost like they have sort of Ariana Grande ponytails.
Oh.
On the side.
You know, I'd rather have my ungroomed dogs.
But how are they growing all that hair and your dogs don't? You know, like, do they?
Oh, that's a beautiful dog. Oh, well, just look at him.
Papillons have the butterfly ears. Yeah, that's what they call them.
But well, that's French for butterfly, papillon.
Yes, it is.
Ooh.
So I don't know.
Oh, look at that little puppy. He's so cute.
I don't know. I don't like the way that looks.
They're also very dignified acting.
Yes, they well, can. Apparently, they can be when trained.
All those dogs are very
when trained.
Prissy.
Were those dogs barking at people?
No, no. Nor well, they did get treats though,
aww,
and they did have the same excited.
Oh, would you just look at that?
Yeah, they were excited.
They're
look
supposed
this,
to be.
Look at that! Look at that! Look at that!
I've read a lot about Papillons. They're a very manipulative breed.
No, well, they didn't mention that.
Oh, so it's not your fault.
No, it's
just
not
the
my
breed,
fault.
Kind of
no,
breed they
been sucked
are.
In. Like you. When Layla wants her treat in her bed, which I don't doesn't make any sense to me. But she has started this thing where when the treats come out, she runs to her bed. In other words, I want my treat in my bed.
Well, don't give it to her in her bed. Pretty simple.
Well,
Mr. Discipline.
She's also trying to get away from me.
You lack discipline.
Oh,
I see.
When I let him in the other day and gave him treats, we didn't take it to her bed. We just threw it at her. She was fine.
She knows that
she hasn't manipulated
you
yet.
Yeah,
no, she's not going. She
can't manipulate you.
Mags maybe, but not her.
Mags is. It's funny. You can see how that Mags is mobile when he wants his treat.
Yeah,
he will come running.
Although it was weird. So when I was here letting him out, Layla came back in. Mags came in, and then Mags went right back to the door again.
Yeah, he wants to go out and come back in and get another treat.
Oh, that's what that is?
That's manipulation, too.
So I let him back out and just watched him. He just sat on the top step of the poop deck.
He thinks that when he comes back in, he gets another treat. Because if he walks through the door in towards the house, he thinks that means he gets a treat.
That's pretty smart.
That is really.
Starting to like that guy.
Smart.
He's also.
Wrong.
I'm pretty sure that he even fakes peeing.
Really?
He'll go down the stairs if it's a nice day. He'll go down the stairs. He'll stand there for like 1 second. And then he comes running back up like, hey, I just went to bed.
He was barking at something in the corner back by the shed.
Yeah, there's a dog.
Is that what it is?
Behind us.
But Layla didn't care.
No, I don't know. He's much more fascinated by that. And there's some prickly stuff back there, too. And he's occasionally comes in with a couple of
burrs. And
yeah, a couple of burrs.
Oh, how rugged.
Idiot. No,
Come on, Max.
Sweetheart.
That dog, though, not to stack dog stories.
The
dog that... it was kind of a sad story this morning. Of course, Good Morning America was playing it for big sympathy points.
Oh, of course.
The girl who got shot and her dog ran away then and somehow ended up from Brooklyn all the way off like 1,000 miles.
Wait, nice dog. Runs away when its master is shot?
It went out one day and didn't come back, and they don't know if it ran away or what happened.
Did he go, I'm going to go get some help? Then he never came back.
It ran a couple hundred miles away?
Yeah. What?
And then it just shows up at this other young girl's house. So apparently this dog loved young girls.
Oh, what a creep. What a creepy dog.
But they reunited him. That was the feel-good story of the day.
God,
Robin
why
was
is that news?
Oh.
In tears.
There's some breaking news.
There is?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
It's an email.
Is this from Maz?
I don't know if it's really breaking news.
No.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
Oh, we may have to play it again. Hold on. Mags' answer. How many wheels out, Mags? Maz? We're stuck. Comcast line blocking our garage. But guess what? 60-mile-per-hour wind and no power outage. 6-mile-per-hour wind back in Royal Oak and our power would have been out.
Huh.
Oh, no, that's not Maz. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Wait, what?
I'm so confused.
I'm confused, too.
What
that the wasn't the answer
going?
To how many wheels are out.
Huh.
When is that from? That's just a minute ago.
Really?
Is this just Maz?
Maybe he was messaging somebody else and he hit you accidentally.
I'm confused. Oh, there's two people on the string. Okay.
Oh, I see.
Oh, boy.
I hate that.
Okay. So there's zero. You went from two breaking news to zero?
No. Back to my email breaking news, which is, let's see. Matthew says, hey, guys, I'm not a forensic accountant, but I did live with a documentary filmmaker. Ooh, for a few years. He was in Argentina filming when the Tom's Shoes thing first happened.
Oh, really?
Yes. And if you missed yesterday's show, Tom is the
goddamn
guy
shoes.
Who was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and he was crying. He was so moved by his own generosity. because he was giving $5 million to the anti-gun effort or the anti-violence effort.
Yeah.
And
well, why don't we just relive it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So. I brought it up right at the most exasperated exasperation ever.
Just explain what's happening. Yeah. So. All right. No emotion.
Oh, my God. Another cry.
12 days ago, the shootings happened in Thousand Oaks. And my wife called me, and she was scared. And she said, I'm not taking our son to school today. This happened 2 weeks ago in a synagogue in a yoga studio. And someone has to do something about it.
Clearly going to happen to his school next.
And I was emotional. And I sat there and I thought, and I said, you know what? Damn it. We're going to do something about it. And so tonight we're announcing that we're going to evolve our giving model. So Tom's not only will continue to give shoes, but we will give considerable resources to the causes and the most important issues of our time. And we're going to start by giving $5 million to the most amazing organizations who are working hard on the ground every day to end gun violence. And this will be the single largest corporate gift to end gun violence in the history of the United States.
Why are you breathing so hard?
Do you know that's the largest gift? Did he look that up?
Well, the audience did because they cheered it. So they knew. And Jimmy had to console him. Oh, there he's crying again.
Oh, my God.
He's bawling.
It's so awesome. It's so awesome that you're doing this. Along with that as well, you have a new thing that's launching actually tonight, right
oh God,
now.
This is
right
so
now,
nice.
If you go to toms.com, let me tell you about it. Yeah. So important thing we
way
can
way to take one, over the show, Mr. Tom.
Will join us too. But the most
why
important
are you breathing
is to give
so
every
hard?
American an opportunity to act. So we developed a technology just in the last 4 days. It's on toms.com right now. You that's can go plug. On there, and in less than 30 seconds, you can send a physical postcard to your representative by putting your address in. That postcard will go to your representative, urging them to do one thing. What? Let's pass universal background checks.
Technology.
This is something that 90% of Americans are in favor of. And you can do it in 30 seconds or less on Tom.com.
Man, the crowd goes nuts for this guy.
I love that you're doing this. So this 4 days ago, this did not exist. This didn't exist 4 days ago. We've had some amazing humans that have come together to make this possible. We want to make sure that every single American, because if every single American makes an action like this,
okay.
Congress will
I've
listen.
Had enough of Tom. I mean, he's not Tom, but Trudy, the reason I asked you if you'd seen this before the show was because yesterday a couple people sent this to me, and then Mark brought it up on the show, and we actually watched the whole thing. And I realized after the show, I was like, wow, I really pounded lumps on that guy for giving $5 million. I mean, I'd like to think his heart's in the right place, but the whole thing kind of, it just, I didn't like the way, first of all, why is he crying? Yeah. So. I mean, another person crying on TV. Mm-hmm. And then I found, because I was so curious about this person who's bawling, Mark was explaining, and it also was in that interview, that he just one day was, he was in Arkansas, or he was in Argentina for the Amazing Race, and he saw a lot of kids without shoes, and he decided, I'm starting a shoe, and for every pair of shoes I sell, I'm going to give one away to kids in Argentina.
Really? Argentina needs shoes?
Mark?
Yeah, I guess.
What if they like being barefoot, though?
Well,
too bad. They have to make the shoes, and then they get a free pair.
You're not going down the same path I was, which was that I want a forensic accountant to go into Tom's and find out how is it they sell one pair of shoes and they give one away for everyone they sell. They're overcharging. Or they're not really giving a pair away for every pair of these. I mean, it's just lot of math at once on
it's
me.
It's twofold, Trudy. He gives them away to Argentina because you would need a forensic accountant. Also because people that buy Tom's shoes don't want to see them on homeless people around here.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You don't want to see a homeless person.
Yeah, no, there's that aspect like, gee, can't people use shoes around here?
Yeah, no, not if.
America first!
Not
America!
Not if your customers might see them in the shoes you're trying to sell them.
So.
The homeless guy can't have better shoes than you?
No. And I was I didn't listen to the podcast yesterday. I was explaining to Drew how I had a friend and we were together and we actually saw a homeless guy who had a pair of same exact pair of shoes he had on, so he never wore them again.
Oh, really? What a snob.
I know. It would be a little unsettling. But anyway, this whole thing just bothered me. And I know I went down a path that very few people would have been basically criticizing every aspect of his generous gift and his program and his shoe company.
I just wonder, if he wasn't on The Tonight Show, would he still make the gift?
Good question.
Would his kid be back at school?
By the way, it's all about his kid and his wife.
Yeah.
And, you know, this could have happened to my son. I mean, that's sort of how I took it, which is probably, maybe I'm being too cynical. But anyway, I didn't even finish the email. He was in Argentina filming when the Toms thing first happened and said that while Toms were giving out shoes, the locals just didn't want them.
Oh, there you go, Trudy.
They were so cheaply made that they fell apart almost immediately when worn on the rock dirt ground of the place that my buddy was filming. Most people made their own sandals out of rope and old car tire rubber, and Toms just sat in a pile. Loved hearing him be phony on Fallon. Can't believe you avoided and ain't all about you, sweetheart.
Here's a clip of that documentary. I think this looks like a little Argentinian boy.
Hmm. Wait, is this a documentary exposing Tom's shoes?
Well, from that video that his buddy made, he sent it.
Goddamn shoes!
That's some little Argentinian boy.
Wow, he's very deep voice.
Well, he's pissed that his shoes are falling apart.
Yeah. Anyway, that's just that really wasn't breaking news, but it was just an update.
Do you own a pair of Toms?
No, I was just looking at them. They're no different than some higher end shoes that I would pay the money for.
They're pretty popular.
Really?
But where we have?
He's got $300 million. He's obviously done pretty well.
There's a knockoff
until my forensic
brand
accountant gets in there
and blows it up
and blows up the model. Now, you know, he's probably really sincere, and I'll just leave it at that. I think what he's doing is great.
Sure.
Really happy for it.
Why not?
Well, he's happy.
If it ends gun violence, if it starts, it's the largest corporate gift.
If he gets his kid back to school.
Yeah, it absolutely makes his wife.
Hey, sweetheart. Hey, sweetheart. You need to
wrong one.
Ain't all about you, sweetheart.
And then Dan emailed in earlier today, thanks for talking about the Clinton affair. I felt so bad for Paula Jones. I thought she really acquitted herself very well. She's a pretty amazing person based on the documentary. It seems most people would have buckled under the pressure. Yeah, that was really amazing that she hung in there. Linda Tripp is the worst. The characters in this could all be believable in a movie.
You don't think Paula was prodded a little bit to go forward? I thought that was very interesting.
I think she was, but, I mean, honestly, when people are on television every night talking about what a piece of trash you are...
Well, then you'd want to stop.
I think, you might want to... I mean...
I'm just saying,
I thought she was sincere. I believe
she's incredibly
her.
Sincere.
I believe that happened, and I think most people just go, oh, the president's marshaling all his resources against me. Fuck this.
I agree with that. I think she had the right support around her, though.
She did. Well, she had the right on her side... But who would want to be in the middle of such bullshit? Yeah. I would just say, fuck this. I'll be damned if I want my name in the paper every day over that
BS. That's why women don't ever come forward.
during the deposition, you could see him stepping in it when they presented that they knew he gave gifts to her. Oh, yeah, that was a really incredible part of the documentary, I thought. The attorney that quit showed some real class and said without saying that they were out of line. I thought keeping someone by the name of Monica Lewinsky and her mom in the hotel room was strange. What was messed up? I was wondering how legal that was. Authorities can be pretty scummy when it comes to getting what they want. Yeah. I thought everyone, you know, honestly, and I answered him, I said, I thought everyone in that documentary came off pretty badly, except for
Monica.
Paula Jones and Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
Who somehow, and honestly, I don't know how Monica Lewinsky didn't not throw herself out the window, but at some point, I imagine it would have been very easy to say, this is, my life sucks, fuck it.
I thought Jennifer Palmieri, or whatever her last name is, came across pretty...
Monica's girlfriend?
No.
The one from the Clinton administration.
Yeah, she worked, and I think she might have worked with Obama, too, but she seemed genuinely, like, so remorseful and regrettable because it was her birthday party, as if she had any control over that. Her birthday party, where they first got it on.
Well,
and then she never really believed her, and she just, I don't know.
I'm stunned that people say they didn't believe Monica Lewinsky, because he said, I did not have sex with that woman.
People believe
really?
What they want to believe.
Well, you know, I didn't believe anything at that moment. All I know is if the media was reporting that it was...
have sexual relations with that woman.
The media is certainly reasonable in terms of, I don't think we can complain about the media being too conservative. If the liberal media would report on that story, I would have to believe they had something fairly nailed down. As it turned out, they did. And as we learned a little more, it seemed to me this idea that she fantasized the relationship and made it up and told Linda, it was just so preposterous. Plus, there was all this stuff about why would he have an intern and her parents in the Oval Office? I mean, there were just so many things. But, you know, you want to believe your guy. You want to believe if, you know, there's people who say Trump didn't sleep with Stormy Daniels. So,
I mean, not only in and out of politics, people stand by people they want to believe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Except there was a lot, often a lot of evidence there.
Since when does that stop people before evidence?
Normally, I think, I don't know, politics to me has just gotten so stupid. Honestly, it blows my mind that people think that Trump didn't bang Stormy Daniels. That really surprises me. If anyone is still willing to say, I don't think so.
Is there anybody that says that?
Yeah, I think there's people. Trump? I think there's people that believe that. Not many. Not many. But I mean, I guarantee you there's probably, I don't know, 17%.
Wow.
Is it that they don't believe it or they're like, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
It's probably devolved into who cares.
Yeah,
I would say. When it first came out, there were a lot of people saying, "Oh, who would believe a porn star?"
You're sure? What if you're religious though?
Believe me,
I don't understand.
She would not be my first choice. That I can tell.
I don't understand how you make that work in your head though. If you're the religious conservative right who support him because there are
that
people,
he didn't bang her. You mean
that he did?
Oh,
and that you don't care. It's nobody's business.
Everybody makes mistakes.
I don't know.
That's what they say. Everybody makes mistakes.
Oh. Yeah, but unless you're gay.
I can't get into the partisan mind.
No.
Actually, I can. I mean,
there was that one news story
where the partisan's going to say, but
they interviewed a lot of them, and that was pretty much, hey, everyone, you haven't made any mistakes? Everyone makes mistakes.
Wow. Yeah. Well, if Clinton, you know,
forgiveness.
Clinton knew up front when, what was his pollster's name?
Dick Morris. Who liked to suck toes? They left that out of the documentary.
You said Dick Morris was a toe sucker?
Yeah, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't he like prostitutes?
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's the only thing I think of when I see him.
Dick Morris, he asked Dick Morris for advice and he said, well, we'll do a poll. And he said, if you apologize, say you made a mistake, the country will forgive you.
This guy will say anything.
And Clinton chose to just lie.
Clinton thought,
lie,
whoa, attack. Let's stop talking with this guy.
Exactly.
They hate each other now, don't they, Morris?
Yeah, they do.
The Clintons, I think. Really
the Clintons, it's once you cross the Clintons in their mind, it's over.
Oh, did you see the lovely story about them?
The Clintons?
Bill and Hillary, yeah. Oh. Their Thanksgiving.
No, I didn't.
Oh, really? Was
Chelsea there?
Yes. This is how relatable they are. Bill and Hillary and Chelsea and Mark, Chelsea's husband.
Great guy.
Did their
I'm not kidding. If I had to spend a half an hour with Chelsea Clinton's husband, I think it would be absolute torture.
Do you think you'd have anything in
torture.
Common with them?
No, nothing. And Jared Kushner, too. It would be probably torture.
Great guy.
I could, well, at least I could tell Mark, hey, we spell our name the same way.
That's true.
Yeah, we both have a daughter named Charlotte.
Oh.
I know, I'm embarrassed.
Bonding.
By that, as if I had any choice in that. Anyway.
If the five people she wants to have dinner with came up, I would shoot myself. if I could not put my hand over her mouth and stop her from talking about it, I would shoot myself.
He is still a guy, so you could ask, what's up with your wife's five guys she wants to have a dinner? That's really weird. And see if you can get
on. I've never even heard of these losers.
He's probably like, oh boy, you don't even know the half of it, Drew. She's always talking about this guy and that guy. I don't know what the fuck she's talking about.
I don't think I even knew who four of them were.
No, I didn't know any of them were.
They were like old poets and
half of them are dead.
16th century.
None of them were hot either.
Reminds me, we got to look. Well, like she cares about that.
Come on.
Chelsea Clinton.
She came from her dad who's just got the.
I think she got all her mom's genes there.
It seems so.
I think Hillary, remember Hillary's dancing thing when she was down in some South American country and she was getting it on. And
hilarious.
She was sort of dirty dancing with somebody, wasn't she? It was another woman.
That crazy dancing making my penis soft.
Imagine her being horny.
Oof. Oh, no.
Come here, Bill.
No.
You know, when
put it in my ass.
I thought about that during that documentary. I thought, I wonder. You know, maybe he had,
I'm coming.
Maybe he had literally no sex with his wife for who knows how long before that.
He said that to my. That's one of the things I read in the Star Report when I was reading it back. He said something. Hang on. I'm going to find the exact quote. I got two things to tell you now. Here's the. I'll just let you read this while I find that part of the Star Report that made me laugh really hard. And you can read that. That'll make you laugh.
Clinton were spotted in the audience at Harvey Fierstein's Torch Song on Broadway over Thanksgiving weekend, along with Chelsea and son-in-law Mark Mezvinsky.
Who the fuck wants to go see Harvey Firestein? What's the name of the play?
I just want to be loved.
Is that so song. Wrong?
It's a Thanksgiving tradition for the family.
How relatable.
We see a Broadway show the weekend of Thanksgiving. This year we chose Torch Song. We hear that when Chelsea asked an usher at the Helen Hayes Theater where the concession stand was located, the usher told her it was downstairs, then joked, or you can send your husband. We hear Chelsea agreed. You're right, he should go. Oh, God. Phil and Hillary got a standing ovation?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Torch Song, come on, Drew. Harvey Firestein. That's their crowd.
What? But why would...
That's their jam. All right,
okay, whatever. Okay. I can't imagine doing that.
Or the people will be buying the tickets to the show.
I can't think of, actually, I'm sorry. I can't think of any politician I would give a standing ovation to for being at the same event I was at.
Yeah.
I can't think of one, not one. Unless it was JFK and he was like holding a wound
on his
head.
Yeah. Or Lincoln.
Or Lincoln, yeah.
I don't sit by that guy.
Holy shit, he's alive! Oh my God!
He's got the balls to go to another play. What a leader. He won't let the terrorists win.
Kennedy wants to see the Patriots game. That's incredible. Look at that. He's holding the fucking wound. Jesus.
You know he's got to have both hands on that wound.
Oh yeah.
Jackie's got the pillbox hat on. Oh my God.
He's constantly moving the
right
hands around to keep all the wound.
He had to scoop some of it off of Jackie.
All right. November 15th, 1995. Their sexual encounter.
Yes. Wait, he told the grand jury it was 96 and 97.
Oh, that's right. Well, another, we know he lied.
I forgot that one. I don't recall.
I can't remember.
I don't recall anything in 95.
What his dick does.
We're saying anything about my sex life.
This is after they had kissed once, after she showed the thong. I believe that's when. En route to the restroom. Oh, so she's about to go take a dump. She, which I only assume. She passed George Stephanopoulos' office. The president was inside alone, and he beckoned her to enter. She told him that she had a crush on him. He left. He then asked if she would like to see his private office through a connecting door.
It's private?
Mr. Stephanopoulos' office. They went through the president's private dining room. Towards the study off the Oval Office, Ms. Lewinsky testified. We talked briefly and sort of acknowledged that there had been a chemistry that was there before and that we were both attracted to each other. And then he asked if he could kiss me. Ms. Lewinsky said yes. Then they kissed. Before returning to her desk, Ms. Lewinsky wrote down her name and telephone number for the president. That was 8 o'clock. At around 10 o'clock, she was alone in the chief of staff's office, and the president approached. He invited her to rendezvous again in Mr. Stephanopoulos' office. In a few minutes, she agreed. The lights were off when they got there. She and the president kissed. She unbuttoned her jacket. Either she unhooked her bra or he lifted her bra up, touched her breast with his hand in his mouth. Ms. Lewinsky says, I believe he took a phone call, so we moved from the hallway to the back office. He put his hand down my pants, stimulated me manually in the genital area, while the president continued to talk on the phone.
Oh, wow, he's a multitasker.
Hot.
While he was talking on the phone, presumably with a member of Congress or a senator, she performed oral sex on him. He finished the call, and a moment later told Ms. Lewinsky to stop. In her recollection, I told him that I wanted to complete that, and he said, we need to wait until I trust you more. And then I think he made a joke.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, your dick's in her mouth.
Oh,
I don't trust.
So if she says, I gave him a blowjob, but he didn't come.
Hey, wait.
Oh, well, that's okay.
All emissions have to be captured by the Secret Service.
I think the ends of the story justify his worrying.
Oh, okay.
I mean, when he blew a low, that's what buried him.
Well, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
But this is the part that made me bring it up.
Well, there's pre-cum. He was going to. I'm just saying, if she was going to, she could have swapped her mouth and got something.
That's pre-cum.
Sorry.
Gross.
It's the second time that term has been used on this show, and I regretted it both times.
But
I felt it was worth making the point. I think he was wrong to not complete it in her mouth.
No, you're right. You're right. If he was going to complete it.
If he didn't trust her, it should have never gone in her mouth.
But to the point of Hillary never giving it up for him. So after he said he needed to trust me more, I then think he made a joke that
I hadn't had that in a long time.
Hillary was nowhere near his penis.
What restraint,
by the way. He hadn't had it for a long time, and he cut it off.
Wow. It's a master.
What a leader.
Huh.
It's a tough position to be in.
I gotta tell you, if you've never read the Star Report, go back and just read the sexual encounters part.
I know. I remember.
Wild.
Is there a book?
It's pretty wild.
Star Report. Form?
Really? Yeah. Did you get a hardback?
A lot of pages.
Soft cover?
It's all over the internet. That was really...
I had a soft cover version. It was thick.
Yeah. That was a really wild part of the Clinton affair when Monica knew it was coming out. And there she's like, here I am reading it, knowing millions of people are reading about her sexual liaisons with the president while she's reading it too.
So has this documentary established what she is what is she doing now? They don't say anything about what her
I think she's fallen out of love with Bill because she's telling she's talking.
But I mean,
you can glean that from it.
Has anybody else stepped off? Has she got a boyfriend? Or?
I don't know.
Nothing?
That's weird.
One sex life?
Have we ever heard of her having a boyfriend?
Well, there was that one part, and she was very hurt when that commentator, I wish I would have written down who that was, said that. Could you imagine your son bringing home his new girlfriend, and it's Monica Lewinsky?
You know, I think today it'd be okay.
Today really? It would.
But it would be a pain in the ass. Honestly, I'm surprised she hasn't changed her name.
Well, yeah, like Jeff Stone.
Well, he told everybody.
People would have found her.
I don't know. She doesn't look much different.
She doesn't have a boyfriend yet. Casey Anthony does. That's really bizarre.
Yeah.
Sounds like Casey Anthony's boyfriend is from Clinton Township.
Whoa. Really?
Is he really her boyfriend or did he just go out once?
Oh, yeah, you're right. They just went out once.
Hey, who is Chris Jarecki, by the way? Jarecki. I was going to look that up today, and I just spaced.
Spell it again.
Chris Jarecki, Jarecki, I think.
American musician, radio show host, and actor, best known for his work with
really
Geffen
cool
Records.
Hair.
Stun, okay. The band Stun. Yeah, really cool hair.
He was married to Alicia Silverstone.
Oh,
I saw that.
Yeah, and they're divorced.
Children.
And
they had a kid together.
Bear Blue.
Bear. The kid has hair down halfway down his back too.
Oh, that's nice.
He was breastfeeding until he was 3 and a half. Alicia.
What?
Yes. And he sleeps in her bed every night.
What?
Yes. When he's with her. With him, I don't know what the deal is. But he got $12,000 a month alimony. Or child support. Child support? I don't know what it is.
Is that a boy or a girl, that kid?
It's a boy.
It's a boy.
That's a boy.
It's gotta...
That boy is gonna be so soft.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. That's exactly what I thought. Well, first of all, breastfeeding until he's 3 and a half, and then sleeping in the same bed with his mom every night.
Ugh.
He's 7. No, I think he's 8 now.
Ugh. That poor kid.
And his dad's hair.
Yeah, I didn't quite get any of this stuff, but
is this an audio clip of him?
Hi, mommy. Hi, mommy.
That's him.
Hi, mommy.
I heard she had some projects going, so I wondered if there was a reason why she had to work again.
Who has projects?
Alicia.
Oh.
She looks good. I have to say, I saw a current picture of her.
The kid recorded a song.
And no woman ever measured up to the love of my life, my mommy.
Wow.
That's the first track. There's another track, too. I just got to find it. Hang on. Go ahead. Carry on.
I was hating on social media again today because I bumped into this stupid story about Levi Johnston.
Oh, what's the
Bristol's ex, Bristol Palin's ex.
Yeah.
That his wife is expecting his fourth child, her third, his fourth.
I'm so glad he's procreated 4 times.
I know. And he does have the Johnston tattoo on his arm, on his entire forearm, his last name.
Does he have Levi on the other forearm?
He got the idea from Brandon.
In case he has amnesia. He'll know who he is.
Exactly. But Bristol Palin was bitching. In the story, they mentioned that Bristol was bitching on Teen Mom. Bristol Palin on Teen Mom. Hasn't registered. She was bitching that Levi hasn't signed Tripp's Dancing with the Stars Junior's contract. So Tripp can't get paid. Tripp, who is, 9? And I was like, oh, why do I have to know this? Why is this on social media? Why?
Yeah, those are normal problems.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, God.
And I actually bumped into some clickbait on Ariana Grande because yesterday, it was so weird. I was so stuck on what an idiot Ariana Grande was with this whole Pete
Davison.
Davison deal, yeah. And the quick engagement and the we're so in love,
tats.
We're more in love than anyone and all the tattoos and all the tattoos blocking the tattoos.
Yeah.
And I'd forgotten about her being the donut licking I hate Americans person.
Donut licking.
Yeah, remember she licked a bunch of donuts at a donut shop?
Yeah.
What the fuck was that? But anyway, so there was this thing about Ariana Grande reason she's shady. And, I've been staying off clickbait pretty faithfully,
but I couldn't
help clicking it. And, oh, my God, she sounds like the biggest beast, like way worse than I ever dreamed.
Why? What other reasons is she shady?
Well, there was a story about her. She was, I forgot what the event was. It was some stupid event where you could pay to get a picture taken with her. $495.
What?
Yes. And people were paying it for their kids.
Did they go to charity or anything?
No.
What?
And they said when they got there, they were like, wait a second. This is to take a picture with 4 to 6 people.
Oh,
it wasn't to take a picture alone.
Just her.
Right. So in other words, all the people in the picture were paying that amount of money.
Oh, so you're in pictures with strangers?
I don't know. They weren't that specific, but...
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
And they were quoting some people who were saying she was absolutely the most unnice person. She was just not friendly at all. It was like, she was like she was ringing the cash register.
Why
and not much
take
else.
A picture? It'll last longer.
So then I kept clicking more and more. The donut licking, the I hate Americans. I hate my fans, too. I wish my fans would die, I think she said.
Oh, cool.
I forgot why that was.
And some did.
That's true. It was after the photo session. She was so sick of being around her fans and taking selfies and signing. And she said, I wish all my fans would die.
Oh, my God.
And somebody heard her, I guess. Anyway, there was a contest to draw a picture of Ariana Grande. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is probably back, 5, 6 years ago, maybe more. And the kid that won got to meet her.
Oh.
So anyway, the kid was presenting the picture to her, and her friend or her mom or somebody was taking a picture of it, and Ariana Grande demanded they delete the photo because it was her bad side or something.
Oh.
And the anyway, the
there's I think audio was, of her receiving it.
It's me. I'm looking for the trash can.
Exactly.
Wow.
So, yeah. Oh, she just sounds like the biggest cunt. I mean, just the worst. Just a prima donna who... Who,
I wanted to make a video to apologize again for the whole donut fiasco and
yes,
craziness.
Fiasco.
Because
happened
I feel
craziness.
Like
she learns from her mistakes, Drew.
I kind of missed my opportunity to actually sincerely apologize and express how I was feeling because I was too busy preaching about my issues with the food industry, which is like.
Pause for a second.
I feel like.
Okay, she's explaining why it made sense that she did it now. She had a problem with the food industry.
Why was she there then?
I mean, this is incredible.
A donut shop.
How could you do anything but say, I'm so sorry. Oh, my God, was that stupid? But she's explaining.
Lick it now. Lick that now.
Relative. I feel like I could have expressed myself in a different way. So
oh, really?
Here I am.
She's crying.
Apologizing again. I've actually never been prouder to be an American, to be honest, with the advances.
Well, this is for I hate Americans, isn't it?
Well, it's the same thing.
That's right.
All the wonderful progressive things that have been going on, I've never been prouder of this country, actually. Seeing a video of yourself behaving poorly that you
hey,
have no
idea
was taken.
If you don't like America, then you can get it.
A rude awakening that you don't. It's like you don't know what to do. I was so disgusted with myself. I shoved my face in a pillow and wanted to disappear.
Oh,
but instead
what a tough
that,
life.
I'm going to come forward and own up to what I did and take responsibility.
Oh, you're so classy.
And,
this is America? I'm sorry. I thought this was America.
Because I reacted in a way that I feel like wasn't.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Jeez.
What necessary
is she even saying? Does anybody know what she's saying?
It also just wasn't me at all. I apologize for my poor choice of words.
Fake.
And for my...
That was a poor choice of words. It's your brain.
America is going to win.
She should be apologizing for her brain.
Behave that way again.
Shut up.
I made a mistake and I'm being judged for it.
You, sweetheart.
Which I understand because I watched it.
Do you think anyone's ever said that to her?
This is the 12th version of I made a mistake.
And it's edited. That's the best part.
I get it.
This is all edited together.
100%. And I'm 22 years old.
Pete Davidson,
I'm human. I still got a lot to learn.
I'm losing so much respect for Pete Davidson for wanting to fuck this idiot.
Wow.
Do you think she should apologize for what she, you know,
that long video
at Aretha's funeral? Wearing the little tiny dress to, like...
She was the victim in that.
When I saw Ariana Grande on the program, I thought that was a new something at Taco Bell.
What a clever line. Oh, my God.
She loves America.
Well, she's never been prouder to be an American, and yet she said she hates America. Honestly, she should have just said, I'm a complete fucking idiot. I've got a really weak brain, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I never thought it would be caught on tape.
Yeah, I never
God
thought
God bless the United States.
Oh, my God. I love it. I'm 22 years old.
What a moron. Thank you. Next. I hate
ridiculous.
That song.
I know, it's so stupid. So I read a lot of the Ben Orr book today from the Cars.
Yeah.
Let's go. You know, it's I wouldn't say I'd recommend it as a great rock and roll book.
Well, it's on your favorite things.
Is it? Okay. Well, I don't know if it's my favorite things. But, you know, I love the Cars, so I was interested in it. I'd say if you're not a Cars fan, it's not... it's a pretty nice... You're not going to find a lot of negativity about Ben Orr or the Cars in here. Not that you're looking for that. It just didn't strike me as a terribly objective bio.
Oh.
Either that or he's kind of boring. I don't know. Huh. I don't know which. But the Cars history is interesting.
Don't write me a book, kid.
I love the Cars. And if you didn't know, Ben Orr died in 2001, I believe, pancreatic cancer. Mm. He was playing to the bitter end, too.
Oh, wow.
Not with the Cars, but with, they had a, I'm trying to think of the name of the band. I think the band was called Big People, which is a weird name for a band. I know, it was like the lead singer from 38 Special, him, Pat Travers from the Pat Travers Band.
Yeah. Boom, boom.
I actually watched a couple videos. They sounded pretty damn good, actually.
I kind of...
Boom, boom, out go the lights. I mean, there's no better encore for the Big People than
that. Of course
not.
But what's one of his other hits? Does Pat Travers have another... Sorry for not knowing this, but... all I know is Boom, Boom, Out Go the Lights.
All you need to know.
He has one. I don't know what it is.
Oh, that's a good song.
If you can name another one, you haven't heard Boom, Boom, Out Go the Lights. I actually liked this song at one time.
Yeah. Good.
And became kind of a joke, but my 18-year-old mind liked this a lot.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
What's wrong with it? It's a good song.
I know. It's, I think the hook was more meaningful to me than it should have been.
We're going to do a little potty tune for you.
Oh, yeah.
It's a talk-up.
This is an old rhythm and blues boogie-woogie number.
Oh, boogie-woogie.
Ooh,
when he says boom, boom, right. You say, I'll go to the lights.
I call for squeeze.
What's that? Oh,
okay,
now there's an opportunity in this song for us all to do a little shouting out here, okay?
Your Maz would love
when
this.
I sing boom, boom, I want you all to answer me back with, out go the lights.
Okay.
Right?
Come on.
Boom, boom, when you sing, out go the lights. Let me see those hands up above your head.
It takes too long to unfold, though.
Yeah, I know. I should just jump forward.
Where's Pat Travers? I gotta look him up.
Ugh, just get to the hook, Pat.
Jesus, I'm gonna participate. He's Canadian.
You had to give all the instructions first.
Toronto.
Slow down.
Where's David Lee?
Now, kid, I'm ready to fight.
Whoa.
I've been looking for my people all night. If I get a rip by side.
Here comes.
Boom, boom, right here.
Out go the lights.
Yeah.
Now, kid, I'm ready to
fight.
Al-Qaeda?
If I find a ball, I'm going to go. If I get a rip by side.
What does this song mean?
No one knows.
It's mysterious. There's lots of Pat Travers news, by the way.
Oh, my God, really?
No.
Oh, this song is exhausting.
Woo!
Imagine having to lead the whole audience with it.
I know.
And play that mean guitar.
Oh, my God, there's a tour.
Yeah. They were on Good Day Rochester.
Woo!
Not as old as I thought, either. He's one of Kirk Hammett's favorite guitar players.
Oh, cool.
Really?
Oh, God, I'm running!
Oh, yeah!
He saw Hendrix perform in Ottawa.
Ooh!
His first band was the Music Machine.
Started playing guitar when he was 12.
Boom, boom, come on. Have good life. He's gonna rape her. He's gonna punch her. Now, kid, ready to fight.
Maybe it is true.
Boom, boom, come on. Have good life.
Take it home.
I'll tell you all about it. God damn it, baby, no, I ain't lying to you. I'm only gonna tell you one time.
Guess whose band that he was in for a little while?
Who?
Backing them up. Extreme.
What?
Who that is,
oh,
right?
Sharon left?
Gary! Gary!
Really?
Gary High Kick Sharon.
I wonder if his 1980 release, Crash and Burn, was the sequel to Boom Boom Out Go the Lights.
He can only
same year release. Snorting Whiskey.
Snorting whiskey.
Yeah.
Snorting what? What does that mean?
81 he released. My life is on the line. Songs are so intense. Ooh, 82. I'd rather see you dead.
Oh.
Snorting Whiskey has way more streams than Boom Boom Out the Lights does. Yes, it has 3 million streams. Okay, Boom Boom only has 260,000.
Once you know Boom Boom Out the Lights exist, you don't know about any other songs.
Yeah, but I didn't know this song existed.
I didn't either, because I heard Boom Boom Out the Lights.
My second word will be whiskey.
Wow.
This sounds like a Skinner song, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. ZZ Top.
Yeah.
ZZ Top.
Totally ripped off from ZZ Top. Sounds like David Lee Roth-ish there, too.
Oh, you don't say, huh?
He was featured in the movie Valley Girl.
What? Woo! Woo! How do we get to Pat Travers, by the way?
Pat Travers'd out.
Boom Boom is way better than that.
I forget how do we get to...
I don't even remember.
The Cars.
There's a roadmap to that.
The Cares.
Let's go.
No, the Cares. Do.
My favorite band is the Cares.
The Cares.
I like the Monkees, but I prefer the Cares.
The Monkees, by the way. They're supposed to be at Royal Oak Music Theater?
Yeah, what's really? Up with that?
I pestered them, and they're like, well, I don't know if the boys do any interviews.
They probably sell out.
Ooh, tell them we can get the Monkey Mobile there.
I did already.
Oh, yeah.
Even though we know there's...
I'll bring my model.
Even though we know there's no way that Mel would ever return our phone call to bring the Monkey Mobile there.
If I brought my model, it would be like a monkey-like prank. It would have to laugh.
Like winning a Toyota...
Hey, Pat Travers Band is live in San Francisco. $35. They're not doing bad.
Huh. Did somebody say Pat Travers Band?
Yeah.
Ready to fight! I've been looking for my people.
Ooh. If I get a rid of my sight. Boom, boom. Right here. I feel like. Yeah. Oh, they're having a little flashback on the web on the Facebook page.
Let's see. Really?
Who is?
Check out this video of Blue Oyster Cult and Pat Travers Band. Oh my God. I can't think of a combination I'd rather not check out.
Watch that.
Somebody's just getting off on this right now. There's like three people going, oh my God, they're playing Pat Travers catalog on the podcast.
One of them's Pat Travers. I have four more streams. Yes.
How many streams does he have for Snorting Whiskey?
3,023,603.
Okay, yeah, it was a thing. They had that thing.
Boom, boom, out go the lights has 260,000. 999? Oh, well, let's make that an even number.
Absolutely.
Come on. I'm ready to fight. I've been looking for my people. Oh, God. Nice. If I get
a rid of my sight. Boom, boom, right here. Out go the lights. Yeah. I was trying to dig into the Beastie Boys book a little bit more today, just because I had made notes on it, but I really hadn't.
I made a real bad decision when I got that on what Audible happened? Books, and it's all pictures.
What?
Well, there's a lot of pictures. Who reads it on the
all
article?
Of the different people who contribute to the article?
Oh, that's cool though.
That is kind of cool.
They do.
Yeah.
They have all those people.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No. Huh. I like the ones told by the band themselves, though. The guys left over.
Yeah, Adam and Mike.
A-Rock and Mike D.
Let's see. God, there's so many. It's more of a collection of stories than a direct. Although they do go chronologically through. Did you listen to the whole thing?
Not yet.
How far in are you?
I skip around.
Yeah.
So I'm like halfway through it.
Malcolm Young would not give them permission for Back in Black.
Wow.
So, really?
That's one of our top three songs, mate. Sorry.
What do they want to use for it?
For Rock Hard, one of their first songs.
Huh.
And they used it anyway, and he didn't sue them.
I don't know that.
So, that was nice.
It's, yeah. That's kind of bittersweet. Malcolm was cool.
He was cool. You know what he mentioned at one point in the book? It was really offhanded, too. And it was... Is this Rock Hard?
Yeah. It does make a good
beat.
That's
Back in Black.
That sounds a lot like Run DMC.
Well, they revered Run DMC. But,
and Rick Rubin and Simmons.
Yeah, until they tried to rip them off. Or they did rip them off. This happens a lot where they're really getting big and they land these places where they don't belong. You know, like this giant Madonna party in Miami.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
And they, you know, there's usually some funny stories associated with it, but he did mention, you know, and I probably shouldn't mention that John Sally was getting freaky in the hot tub, which I wonder what that means exactly. But
he likes to have a good time.
It sounds like it.
No matter what
does. John's a great guy. He's a lot of fun. Huh.
Did they write about being on the Joan Rivers show?
Yeah, they did. They liked Joan. They liked her a lot.
That appearance is really, really funny. I had to see if I can find the whole thing. Because she messes up like the name of the album and everything. And they go out full bore dancing and just get so exhausted right off the bat. Brandon and I were watching it one night and just laughing because they can't even finish the song. They're so exhausted from just fucking around.
My next guests have previously been referred to as a bunch of loudmouthed brats and kids that stomp around the stage like awkward thugs. Well, to me,
couldn't the world use Joan Rivers right now?
My guys, they're just a bunch of simple kids. Their newest album is called License to Kill, and it went platinum after only 8 weeks. License to Kill,
ill.
Right?
Ill.
That's ill, Joan.
Well, I'm telling you, I got my stupid contacts in. Hold on.
She gets out her glasses.
Okay, sorry about this. Their album is called License to Ill.
That's a stupid name for
an album. She handled it so well.
The note of jealousy in your voice, Joe?
If you would have called License to Kill, you would have gone platinum in 4 weeks. Anyhow, they're about to embark on their first major headlining tour across the United States, which starts on January 28th. Right now, they're here to perform You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party. The Beastie Boys!
I just feel like all they did was fuck around when they were this age.
Dance? Oh my god.
What the hell are they doing?
You wake up late for school and you don't want to go. You ask them up, wait, but you still said no. You missed two classes and no homework.
Like, just fell over for no reason.
But you think you break this glass like it's some kind of jerk.
Pussy,
you gotta fight.
That must have weirded people out.
Yeah, the Joan Rivers crowd, they liked her, though. They said she came by before they went on, and she knew where they were from. Mm-hmm. She's from there.
Mm-hmm.
So she said they said they bonded. They really dug her.
Well, she was hip, though, throughout her life.
She was always cool. She was awesome. Love Joan.
And she was kind of a tough wench, too.
But she had to be tough. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yeah, and she got banned from The Tonight Show. Banned! Forever!
So childish.
She never went back, did she? No. Uh-uh. That never happened.
Nope.
Anyway, they were in 86. They were in London. Things were starting to happen for them. So, you know, they start finding people of their ilk or people they thought were cool. Also, I think the funnier story is when they're around people they're not supposed to be around. Like, mm-hmm. they get invited to parties that they really shouldn't be at. Like, right. You know,
Bob Dylan.
Executive types. Yeah, the Bob Dylan story is really weird. We were in London to do a few days of work, do some interviews, meet people at the UK record label. At night, we were on the town. Our friend from New York, photographer, was friends with Mick Jones from The Clash.
Oh, cool.
He worked with them a little bit and hooked it up for us to go hang out with them one night at his fucking house.
That is the thing. They started off as a punk band, a New York punk band in the early 80s.
The Clash, by the way, are broken up then, aren't they, in 86? London, 86? They got to be broken up, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'd like to preface this by letting you know that it's one of my favorite nights ever. It was one of those times where you can't believe it's happening to you, but in a really good way. We go to Mick Jones' house. He lived in a normal house, not the kind you'd think one of the Clash would live in.
Yeah.
It wasn't a dark and depressing tiny British house like in Quadrophenia. He was grown up. His house was grown up and fancy. 3 or 4 floors, nice furniture, paintings and shit. By the way, he's one of the nicest people in the world. We meet, hang out, have a little tea, a couple beers. Then he shows us his studio in the basement. Not a practice space, but a nice little studio with all kinds of equipment. While Mick Jones is showing us a guitar of his, Yauch asked him to play Clash City Rockers. I don't know what possessed him to do that, but I mean, fuck yeah, I wanted that to happen. He kind of laughed and said, I forgot how to play it. So Yauch took the guitar and taught Mick Jones how to play his own song.
Oh, my God.
Mick Jones with the fucking Clash. To quote my friend Bridget, story doesn't end there. Oh, wait, someone at the door. Yup, it's Joe fucking Strummer.
Oh, my God.
Our new close friend Mick Jones had said some people were coming over. Maybe we could have some beers, hang out, and see a movie. We could have either gone back to the hotel to eat, sleep, or done this. Tough call. Now Joe Strummer's here, and we're all drinking Red Stripe Crucial Brews, which are delicious, and the doorbell rings again. It's Johnny fucking Rotten!
Oh.
He's with this cool-ass German lady, and we're now officially drunk and freaking out in Mick Jones' living room. We're getting ready to see a movie, and one more person shows up on the way out. Take a guess. Could be anybody. Anybody, right? It's one of the coolest people in the world ever. Paul Simonon!
Wait, Paul Simonon shows up?
From The Clash.
Yeah.
So the whole band's there.
Almost. Topperheaden is not there.
Oh.
Close enough. Johnny Rotten's taking his place. So they go out and see this crazy movie. Anyway.
Wow.
There's a lot of stories like that. Oh, the Paul Williams story.
Paul Williams.
The singer-songwriter Williams.
Uh-huh.
The little guy with the long blonde hair.
There's He's been in a bunch of things and you don't even realize
You don't know any
Planet of the Apes, wasn't he?
He was the bad guy in the new one, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been in
Is he in the original Planet of the Apes?
No. The remake, the very last one. He was the bad guy.
Paul Williams?
He was in one of the original.
The antagonist.
Really?
Was he in the original?
Yes. I remember seeing...
Oh, he was in Baby Driver.
He was. You're right.
I got to tell you, I still love that movie. Anytime it's on Showtime, I will watch it for about a half hour. I just think it's the coolest.
Well, Paul Williams was one of these people that, like, why is he always on the Tonight Show? I guess he was a funny guest and Johnny liked him.
I never understood that either.
I didn't get it at all.
Get him.
He wrote a lot of songs. I don't know. Were any of his songs really big?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people did his songs.
Yeah, but they sucked, so that's why I didn't.
Yeah, probably. Same here. And he had long blonde hair, and he was tiny. He was like, what, 4 feet tall or something?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe 5 feet tall at the most. So, anyway, they don't know him, but...
What was that?
Autostart, Planet of the Apes.
Never mind. You're right. He was in the old Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. I thought he was.
Yeah.
Yauch was driving this red sports car, winding through the Hollywood Hills, taking sharp twists and turns to Mulholland Drive. As he got to a particularly hairy, curvy slowdown, he saw this crazy shit out of the corner of his eye. He pulled over the side of the road, and there he saw the exact same red sports car dangling over the side of the mountain.
Whoa.
Like in a movie, it was teetering, could fall any moment. And sitting on a tree stump a few feet from the car was singer-songwriter Paul Williams. Hands over his face, hands through the hair, striking his head like, whoa, what the fuck happened? Yauch walked over and quietly asked, hey, man, are you okay? Do you need some help? He said that singer-songwriter Paul Williams just kind of looked up at him and shook his head. No. Yauch was thinking, you sure? Because you really look fucking wasted and your red sports car is about to fall off the mountain and roll in a bunch of houses in the valley. Yauch stood around for a couple minutes just to make sure that singer-songwriter Paul Williams didn't do some crazy shit like try to get back in the car. At this point, a bunch of different people had pulled over and Yauch decided they were probably more capably helpful than he was. So he cut out.
You know what his biggest music hits are?
What are they?
He did the soundtrack for the Muppet movie.
Do you have any like hits?
Rainbow
hits,
Connection?
Hits?
Fuck yeah.
It's
like the biggest thing I can find that he
did. TV themes. Oh my God, the worst.
Oh, TV themes.
Did
that's
that too.
Right.
But We've Only Just Begun.
Oh, he wrote We've Only Just Begun. That was a giant hit.
No, notable songs. Evergreen.
Ugh.
For Barbara Streisand.
Gross.
I Won't Last Day Without You, The Carpenters.
So he made culture worse.
Rainy Days and Mondays.
Always get me down.
Well, We've Only Just Begun. The Family of Man.
Man, he's soft.
Yeah, he is. Out in the Country with Three Dog Night.
That's not a bad song. I mean, for Three Dog Night.
Sure. And an Anne Murray song.
Yikes. So he's like a less cool Jimmy Webb.
Yeah.
Jimmy Webb wrote Wichita Lineman and...
Right.
He wrote some other kind of softish hits.
He also wrote the theme song to Love Boat and then the McLean Stevenson Show.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Three Dog Night. Yeah!
It's not a bad song, I guess.
No, this is a cool song for Three Dog Night. Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was pretty cool.
I have this album. Golden Biscuits.
Golden Biscuits? Was that... Wait. Was that the Greatest Hits album, or was that the name of the album?
That was the name of the album.
I wonder how long they labored over Golden Biscuits.
Yeah.
Country.
That sounds delicious.
Pretty cool picture right here.
Oh, yeah.
They're underwater.
Are they trying to do the Nirvana thing?
Before Nirvana.
Sort of.
That's pretty cool.
It's actually, they're staying in this house in the Hollywood Hills, I think. And the guest house has a bedroom, too. So one of them stays in there. And from the guest house, there's a window to the pool.
Ooh.
Underwater. Oh. So somebody took the picture of them in the pool underwater.
Oh.
But, I forgot who said who did this, but one of them used to wake the other one up by jumping in the pool and knocking on the window in the morning.
Probably Yauch.
They enjoyed their time in the sun. I like that. I think it's the same house. The G spot, they call it. It was a crazy house off Mulholland Drive. There's a gate at the entrance of the house with a big G on it, hence the name. You go through the gate, you drive down this little driveway, and straight ahead where you parked, you could see right into the house, right in this crazy entryway with a rock wall, a bunch of fake plants, and a pool table. Outside was a swimming pool with a little bridge that went over it. It was butter on a roll at a shitty spaghetti place. The best! The interior decoration scheme was like the restaurant that the cast of Quincy hung out at, or the Regal Beagle from Three's Company. They set a burgundy vinyl restaurant-style booth for dining at in the old-time lamppost in the living room, you know, just because. We loved it. We made ourselves at home. We each picked our own room. Mike's is the master bedroom suite upstairs, the one with a huge view and the huge bathtub. Yauch's was the media center library room. It had a massive 80s television and oversized reclining leather bad boy chairs and couches. My room was the pool house. Oh, this is the one. Mm. It was right in the side of the mountain. It had a bar in it. There was a fucking window that looked right in the bottom of the pool. So fucking great. Some nights I'd fall asleep to the sound of wild animals, ones we didn't have in Manhattan, deer, raccoon, coyote, fucking bobcats. And some mornings I'd wake up to loud banging. I'd look up and see Yauch fully clothed in the swimming pool harassing me through the little pool window, trying to wake me up. The owners were an older couple named Alex and Madeline Grassoff. In one of the bathrooms, there was an illustration of a few people surrounding a movie camera that said Grasshopper Unit on it. We were curious about it, so we did some research on the Grassoffs, mostly by going through their personal stuff inside the house. We discovered he was a TV director and made this massively popular after-school special in the 80s called The Wave.
Huh.
I don't know what the hell that is. The G-Stop jumped up to another level. The house is a lamppost in the kitchen and all the crazy 70s trimmings owned by a dude who made The Wave. And homie's got a unit, the Grasshopper Unit. So anyway, they discover this closet that's locked.
Hmm.
And eventually they, of course, broke into the closet to find out it was Madeline's wardrobe, the wife.
Oh.
A barrage of crazy shit from the 70s. Like if you would have said that Sly and the Family Stone wore the stuff on There's a Riot Going On tour in 1972, it would have been like, oh, shit! So, of course, we started wearing Madeline's clothes around the house often.
Oh.
So anyway, they go to Dolly. They're invited to Dolly Parton's birthday party.
Oh, whoa!
And they all agree that they're going to wear crazy shit from Madeline's closet. And Mike and his girlfriend and future wife Tamara were staying at the house. They had to leave for some reason. They said, "We'll see you at the party." And they agreed they were going to wear all this crazy clothes. Well, then the other two decided, fuck it, we're not going to wear that stuff. Let's, you know, let's go and see if Mike and Tamara do. And Mike and Tamara all dressed up like idiots in Madeline's clothes. And they aren't.
Wow.
We decided the party's going to be awkward enough already, but we didn't convey that decision to Mike and Tamara. Hey, it was pre-cell phone. Me and y'all get to the party, and there's Mike. Now, I don't remember the exact outfit, but it was something like this. Satin or velvet pants, ankle-length patchwork leather coat, no shirt, and a huge white fur hat. Tamara was in basically the same outfit.
That's the one with the picture, right?
Isn't yes.
There a picture of him
yes.
In it?
Yeah. For Dolly fucking Parton. In retrospect, it's funny, but to Mike and Tammy at the moment, maybe not so much. But there they were, hanging out at the party. You know, us, Kenny Rogers, Barbara Streisand, and people that stature, ilk, and genre. That's where we saw Bob Dylan. Mike's a huge Dylan fan. I don't know what he was thinking, but he went right over to talk to him like, "Hey, I'm Mike. I'm in a band called the Beastie Boys." Dylan doesn't flinch at this crazy outfit, but he asks the age-old question, "How many are you good for?" What? Bob Dylan is seated on the arm of a sofa with his back turned to a small group of people. They're still in conversation with him. Bob Dylan, "Tickets, man. How many are you good for? You mean like how many people come see my band play?" "Uh-huh. I don't know. A few hundred, maybe. Sometimes a few thousand, maybe. I don't know."
Oh, my God. Just walked right into it.
Bob Dylan, "Good, I'm putting together a pro-smoking concert. I'm trying to get people involved." "Oh, wow. Huh? Pro-smoking like cigarettes?" Another pause. Mike, "Benefit? Concert?" Now very aware of his outfit and out of place since this adult Hollywood party, Mike sort of mumbles some other words as he slowly backs away from Bob Dylan, retreating to the comfort of his friends. Mike came back to us and reported what happened, like, "Where do you go from there? When you get weirded out by Bob Dylan, where do you go next? Walk away, I guess." We snooped around the house for a bit looking for Dolly Parton. We never saw her, so we split.
Huh.
God, oh, they did see Burt Bacharach playing piano at the party.
Well,
a lot of stories like that.
A pro-smoking concert, though.
I know. What the fuck?
Yeah. God, that's great.
benefit for
they were opening for Run DMC when Walk This Way was, you know, huge. And what I kind of, you know, I remember now, but it seems so long ago. The fact that that song brought back Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Because Perry and Tyler were on the video.
And was the first of the mashups between those two musical genres. Wasn't it?
Big hit, yeah.
No, it was a giant hit.
Oh, the mainstream, yeah.
Yep.
So they're opening for Run DMC, and at the final show in Miami, Joe Perry and Steven Tyler are coming down to do the encore.
Oh, wow.
This is a great
with
stuff.
And Adam asked them if he could play bass when Aerosmith was on. They said, "Yeah, sure." So they're drunk as hell, as they are often. And the two guys watching Adam play, the two other Beastie Boys, said that he was basically trying to back into Joe Perry the whole time, chasing him around the stage with his back to him, yeah. And Joe Perry was having nothing of it. So, even though he sounded great, they said he was fabulous, but they said he was really just chasing Joe Perry around backwards for the whole song and never succeeding to back up to him.
I think there's a video or a picture of it, too.
Oh!
In that book. I think
you're right.
Because you can see where Perry's a little weirded out by it. And you forget how young Yauch is there, too.
I know.
It's at 86.
They all look pretty young. I mean,
how can Joe Perry be weirded out by anything by that point?
Did you have a guy chasing you around with a bass on stage?
Backwards.
That's cool, Tay. I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna back into people.
Yeah, well, just get a bass guitar.
That's the whole point of the scar move, was to show the scar, show my back scar, and then back into him. If I was gay, that's my gay brain again.
What?
Yeah, when I had the scar on my back from my surgery, I said if I was gay, I would have guys look at my scar and then I would back into them.
Oh my
gay
God.
Brain move. Not that that's how gay people get together, but just a it was just free thinking, green light thinking. My gay brain.
If you don't have gaydar, it's not a bad way of doing it.
You would have to be shirtless at the point when this happened.
Well, I'm showing off my scar, so yeah, I'd take my whole shirt off. Or you could just get naked.
Hey, wouldn't that be enough?
I want to see the whole thing.
Wouldn't that be enough?
Brandon just sent me a text.
Oh. Uh-oh.
So I guess he's trying to work on the show while he's not here. And it says, sorry to interrupt. 6:36, NBC News reporter asked Trump about gassing children. Perfect drop.
Oh, I just saw that.
I'll bite. I have no idea what it is, but should we play it?
The drop after they ask him?
He just says 6:36.
Okay.
Reporter talking to Trump.
I'm in.
I don't know what the drop is.
We need a new Trump drop or two.
Yeah.
Always.
As if.
By the way, they're talking about those identical, the genetically engineered babies.
Yeah, cool. Why is everyone so mad out? About it?
I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing because
people always freak out about this stuff.
Yeah. It was cool babies, not loser babies.
The genetic thing was to shut off the genetic predisposition towards AIDS for some weird... Yeah. Isn't that really random and selective?
Can we do better than that?
When
taller,
you turn on
thinner,
beauty,
bigger dicks. Yeah.
Bigger dicks.
Including the mother who spoke with NBC News about shielding her kids.
Are you comfortable tear gassing children like what we saw at the border?
They're not. They had to use because they were being rushed by some very tough people. And they used tear gas. And here's the bottom line. Nobody's coming into our country unless they come in legally.
President Trump.
Gears.
Tear gears.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
That was, he can answer any question, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he can answer it.
It doesn't make sense sometimes,
Whatever's in his brain is coming out of his mouth.
Shut down, they certainly could.
President Trump's ramping up his...
The whole Pleasure California thing cracked me up a lot.
Break. Instead of Paradise California?
Oh, yeah.
Pleasure, what a name.
You know, John Oliver showed that, and he also showed Ryan Armani very quickly.
Which
was
that's
weird
right.
to see Ryan.
The Nine
Fox,
got another
Fox
mention.
2 ends up with a lot of clips in a lot of
they
places.
Do.
I've never understood why they do, but Kimmel uses them for unnecessary censorship.
Lots.
That's a loose
Does anybody ever
show.
Get pissed about that? Because, when he has, some NFL owner saying he wants to suck someone's dick. I always thought somebody's got to be getting pissed about this.
It's
in the spirit
joke.
Of fun, yeah.
When you mentioned
some glory hole.
When you mentioned
to me, it's a reminder. I, too, have been here 23 years. And it is a reminder. I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't.
What the fuck is he talking about?
And so having said that, I want me some glory hole.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
No, hot.
Why?
No, what? A guy who wants to suck some guy just
maybe he's just filterless, too.
Now we know what he was doing at the White House back in the... Not the National Capitol, but the Cowboys White House.
Yeah.
What's also baffling to me is that whole Dwight Howard business, too.
Oh, I know.
Is there anything more on that today?
I haven't seen anything about it.
Okay.
Was that just him being...
Thanks for listening, Puck.
I know. I'm sorry.
I know. I know.
I earned
that
one.
Exactly what you're feeling right now.
I'm just trolled or...
I don't know. It seems like a little more than that.
But there's been a lot of smoke with that, but I, you know, this chick is, or guy this, or whatever, he's done it before to people.
Oh. In this is not the first time Dwight Howard has come up in this manner.
So if it isn't, if it is made up, he picked the right target.
Oh yeah, what is it? Just his attempt to like make both genders like to maybe he just wants to get with both genders at once.
Well, like efficiency, he's all about efficiency.
Wants to be the first the guy in the NBA. Well, of course, Dennis Rodman's probably got him beat. But.
True.
You know, I wonder how many guys in the NBA are gay. How many guys in the NFL are gay? I'm surprised. Honestly, I would think by now people would be coming out.
I would too, but nobody's going to.
Somebody will. Well, first of all,
Jason Collins wasn't that his name? Wasn't he the closest
not football Jason player Collins. Or the basketball player?
Oh, Michael Sam was the football Michael player. Sam, yeah. Who was the basketball player? He had began with an A.
Michael Sam just happened so fast.
Michael Sam. Boy, I was gone.
I was not ready for the stuffing cake in each other's mouths and making out at during the draft.
That was so awesome.
That was just
that freaked so many people out.
That was just happened too fast for me.
Jason Collins?
Yeah. Isn't there another one though? The guy that played for Penn State, the
another one. What?
That came out of the closet and he was still trying to play. I thought his name began with an A. I kept drawing a blank. What? Who cares? Who cares?
The whole Michael Amici. Sam story was I don't know why it makes me laugh, but it does.
Well, the thing that pissed me off about that story is that he acted like nobody wants me because I'm a gay NFL player. It's like
nobody wants you.
He's like, because you're not that good.
No, it just wasn't.
They would absolutely have you play for their team if you were any good.
When you mentioned the genetic engineering thing,
yeah,
you reminded me. I watched this documentary on these three these triplets. Uh-huh. I was going to say three triplets.
Oh, yeah.
Who were separated.
Yeah.
When they were born, their mother gave them up for adoption.
Oh, yeah.
And they were sent with different parents.
Ugh.
It was part of a study.
I know.
Which is unbelievable because one of the fathers said, I would have been happy to have them all. I mean, there was no reason to separate them.
It was unconscionable.
It was horrible.
They studied them.
So, yeah, they did for years. One of them, I think he was 19 years old. He was going to college, and he shows up at school. It was a school in New York, and people start hugging him, going, "How you doing?" And they're calling him by the wrong name.
Yeah.
It's his identical brother that goes there, who was coming a day later.
That's like a movie.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. Yeah, who knows what kind of fun he could have had. But anyway, so this guy's like, you look exactly like him. You must be related. And so anyway, they figure out that, oh, yeah, they came from the same adoption agency. They're brothers.
Oh, my God.
And then when this story gets out, the third brother sees it, and he's like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
So they're reunited. It's all good. The three identical triplets. And they even start a restaurant called Triplets in New York.
Ooh.
That was super successful. And one of their fathers, the one who said he wished they were all his sons and sort of acted as sort of their mutual father, even though he wasn't. He, I think, helped manage it, and it was a huge success. And they were like, you know, they were the toast of the world. Do you remember that story? I don't even remember it.
I saw this somewhere, but I don't remember when it happened. But I remember the story because...
Yeah,
I remember how appalled I was.
It was an incredible story. But
what happens to these three guys?
Well, spoiler alert.
Uh-oh.
One of them, first of all, the rest.
Is it in 3D?
No.
Not interested.
When the father dies, he was sort of the buffer, and they started arguments and disagreements.
Really?
And then one of them got real depressed and killed himself. And I had to turn it off. Honestly, I was like, this is such a bummer because they're getting to the study part. And, you know,
did we learn anything?
Yeah, we learned that our fate is basically set at birth, that it's nature, not nurture. And that these guys, they all did it. They liked the same girls. They smoked the same cigarettes. They did everything the same.
Haircuts.
And they found the same thing with other separated twins from the study.
So what's the problem with the study then?
I don't know. I'm just kidding. I didn't even watch the rest of it.
What about Dr. Mengele?
Once the guy committed suicide, it was like, this is not going to have a very good ending. And I don't know. Do we know what happened to the other two?
One wrote the book, I think, that kind of spurred the documentary, didn't he? I could be wrong. How's their restaurant doing?
I don't think the restaurant's still around.
Aww.
I think Triplets went down.
But
let me look it up.
But what ultimately were the what was the psychological experiment supposed
to
do?
Nature or nurture?
Nature or nurture.
To prove
and
that.
And you know what? The study sort of proved that it was nature, not nurture, which no one likes. No one wants to think, well, I decide what I do. And the study sort of suggests that, no, you don't decide what you do. You're going to do it anyway.
Except you're talking about people who are from the same cell.
Doesn't matter what a bad, shitty parent you are.
That's true.
Like, I don't have to do anything. They're going to be how they are anyway.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way, too. Like, well, I'm not going to class today. Whatever's going to happen to me is going to happen anyway. Fuck it. As if. Fuck this, Jeff. Fuck you. I quit.
It's in my genes.
Exactly.
It's called Three Identical Strangers.
Yeah, there was a 2020 or Dateline about this not long ago.
There was, yeah, when the movie was coming out.
Oh, I see. I didn't see the
movie. It's gotten great reviews, too.
Separated birth triplets meet tragic and...
Oh, man. It sucks, though, because it kind of set them up for being... You know, they had separation anxiety, because I remember them talking about that. That the babies, you know, all knew of each other's presence sort of subliminally at first, at least. So
whatever happened to the adoption agency that separated them?
They went out of business, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they did. None of the adoptive parents knew of the other brothers before the babies were placed in their adoptive homes. The agency told the prospective parents the children were part of a routine child development study. Parents say it was strongly implied that participation in the study would increase their chances of being able to adopt the boys. Oh, wow, this is really scummy. First 10 years, they were visited by research assistants. Blah, 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 blah.
That was the one thing they were like, why does this person keep showing up?
Yeah, they got really tired of it. They thought it was cool at first, but not so much. There was place families were working class, middle class, and upper middle class.
This is really interesting. The guy that created the psychiatrist that kind of oversaw this for the Jewish Board of Family and Children's Services, they're the ones that did it. Escaped the Nazis.
Oh boy.
And that's kind of where we got the idea.
Oh.
Because they did a lot of study on twins.
Nature or nurture was responsible for him doing this.
Yeah, it wasn't his choice.
Right.
Behavioral problems were evident almost immediately in the triplets, according to their adoptive parents, as babies all three regularly banged their heads against the bars of their cribs in distress. It was absolutely separation anxiety. Mental health issues continued. They got older by the time they were college age. Two of them have been in and out of psychiatric hospitals. They didn't tell you that at the beginning of the documentary, by the way. They made it look like, oh, this is a great reunion, and the restaurant's killing it.
Right.
Shaffron's on probation after being pleaded guilty to charges connected to the murder of a woman in a 78 robbery. What?
Wait, one of them was?
Charges connected to the murder of a woman in a 78 robbery.
Was his defense? It's not my fault.
Yeah, it was nurture.
It's in my genes.
Maybe he was the evil twin, though.
Those who were studying us saw there was a problem happening, and they could have helped. That's the thing we're most angry about. They could have helped and didn't. In the early days, life of the reunited triplets was a party. The strapping young man made the talk show rounds, moved to an apartment together in Flushing, Queens. You like this thing? I love that. There's only desire to like the same things and to be the same, but they spent more time together. There would also be times when one of us would be closer to another, and it was not fun to be the odd man out. They met their mother briefly in the 80s. Hers was an underwhelming story, a prom night knockup.
Oh, man.
She had drinks with them but didn't pursue any relationship.
Wait. Prom night knockup and she gives birth to triplets?
I know.
Whoa.
Fucked up.
Oh my God.
True open restaurant in Soho called Triplets, Romanian Steakhouse. Closed in 2000. We did do a lot of crazy things. Let's see. Okay, let's get to the end, please.
Hey, Leibovitz took their picture.
Yes. As Triplets basked in their newfound fame and endless similarities, the adoptive parents were beginning an investigation. Whatever. I don't care about the point of it. What happened to these three guys?
We don't happen to one.
Eventually, the brothers married off and had kids of their own. David and Janet Kelman had two daughters, Allie and Raina. Robert, I don't care about their kids' names. Robert had a daughter and a son. Eddie and Brenda had one daughter, whatever. Of all the triplets, Gallen seemed to be the one who had the most affected by the discovery of one other. Growing up, Gallen, his adoptive father, didn't see eye to eye. They had dysfunction at his brothers. He felt, this is my family. Put everything in being with the boys. Oh, so the adoptive father got fucked. But 95, he had increasing signs of bipolar disorder. Killed himself with a gun. Okay, so we got that. Heartbreaking detail. It is in the films that Eddie moved several times so he could be close to the brothers. He did that, I think, three times. He moved close to Dave and his family when he ultimately died. He was living across the street from them. After Suicide, Shaffer and Kelman drifted apart, their relationship indelibly marked by the whiplash of initial euphoria and the harrowing events that came later. It would be fair to say the relationships were strained from the point Robert left the restaurant. Two remaining brothers did begin to get somewhat closer over the course of making the film. Today, Shaffer is a lawyer living in Gravesend, Brooklyn. Kelman, who still lives in New Jersey in the process of a divorce, is an independent general agent working in life insurance. He ran in touch with Gallen's wife and daughter. My daughter and Jamie are extremely close. I don't care about the kid's name. Stop! After everything he went through, the study that altered their life is never published. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's buried away till 2066.
What?
Yeah, but one set of twins that were in the study petitioned them, and they got to see their records, so because of backlash.
Okay, so two of the three are alive.
Wow. That feels real to me. Very disappointing. An instant classic.
It's Homer's review.
Not bad. It was good. It was good. It just got depressing, and I wasn't in the mood for it. And I think the Michigan-Ohio State game was coming on. So that shelved
a good pregame fair.
The doc. I know it wasn't. Right.
Speaking of separation, did you watch 60 Minutes? They had a big story of separating the families at the border.
I had it on while I was reading the Ben Orr book, so not real carefully.
They had one example of a family. It's really sad because these kids got separated after they came across the border, but it's a very serious issue, Shell thought. So they reunited them eventually.
Yeah.
And the kid was, his mom's trying to like hug him. She's like, he doesn't know I am. And the kid's just crying. And all I could think of was, that's just a three-year-old being a three-year-old.
I saw that.
It's a very...
Was that the kid
like
that was in...
20 seconds of interaction of one story. It's a three-year-old being a three-year-old. He did not change...
Well, the media loves creating a narrative that, oh my God!
But it was 72 days, which is a long time.
He was in Grand Rapids, wasn't he?
Yeah, Michigan, yeah.
Why'd they ship him all over? What was that? Why? Why was that necessary? It's
the government.
Trump tweeted about it today. Called it fake 60 Minutes.
Oh, yeah.
He said that it was Obama's...
fault
plan or whatever. I don't know.
Like that Obama,
I don't know what
that
he
Obama
means
did
anymore
it too,
about anything.
Yeah, today
Obama deported a lot of people.
Thanks,
I don't
Obama.
Know if it was Trump. No, it wasn't Trump that tweeted it. Somebody was talking to me about Obama pepper spraying people at the border or something like that.
like himself.
Wait. Yeah, like he was down there with a giant pepper spray container just spraying the shit out of everybody.
I agree.
All right, let's
go. So now Trump's like, I want to do that. He wants to go down there and do it.
With tear gas.
Oh, boy.
All right, let's get out of here.
All right.
The merch store is open. The Brew and Mike store. Killers Christmas, December 13th.
I forgot to open the Hall Financial hotline when Jim called in.
Oh.
I mean, when Ty called in. And when William Chappell called in, I like how he corrected you on this.
If it had been open, though, we would have told you to click the link to Hall Financial. And they would fill out the online form. They'll get in contact with you. Or you can just go to their website. Or you can call 248-308-5000. They'd love to crunch some numbers for you for a refi. Or if you originate a new home loan.
We need Brandon back. Appraisal. I always forget to contact them to open it.
Right.
Well, maybe you left it open. Maybe that's why the calls worked, fortunately. And, of course, rate us on iTunes, rate us on Facebook, and like us on Facebook. We haven't been pursuing that lately, but why not? Give us a Christmas present. Buy merch and like us on Facebook and rate us everywhere we can be rated. I have no idea what our Google Play rank is, by the way, because Brandon's
huge.
Out of sorts. It was doing well, though. It's huge.
Huge, quickly.
How long is the merch store open for?
I believe the pre-sale ends on the 28th. And what that means is if you want to guarantee you get something, get it now.
Ah, okay. So just
because we will over order, so there will be some left, but that doesn't guarantee if anybody wants.
I see. That's
as soon as you lose.
Yep. Don't be a high wire act order today at the Drew and Mike store.
See ya.